This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Jared Christmas on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, FUBAR Radio, Jared Christmas and Andrew Bird on the airwaves, the app waves. It's what? What is it? 104? And I'm feeling good. How about you, Andrew?
I am. I've got some banter. I've got some ill-informed opinions.
Brilliant.
And I've got a thirst for music. Let's do this.
Oh, sounds like Boris Johnson. This is going to be great. So I'm pretty pumped. It's our official first show.
Yeah.
This is us punching our way through the hymen. That's way too violent a statement. Easing our way through the hymen.
Yeah.
Of radio, FUBAR. So if you want to tweet us, at FUBAR Radio, email is christmas@fubarradio.com. I heard someone, an American, say .org. Americans pronounce it .org. None of them realise what they're saying.
And they don't find that funny.
No, I've heard it said so seriously. I've heard it on the news, .orgy.
No.
It's like, no, you're saying orgy.
Yeah.
It's good times. I'll log on to that website.
My mum still says I'll fast forward you that email.
Fast forward you. Nice. I like good. It. Your mum's awesome.
She's Scottish.
Well, she's what's going to happen Scottish. If they get independence, though, mate? Because you're English, she's Scottish. Well, and if Osborne has his way, different money. They aren't allowed to have the pound.
Oh, what's going to happen with me inheritance?
I know. It's going to be really awkward. You're going to lose so much in the exchange rate.
Best get the money now, really.
Do you want Scotland to be independent, mate?
Don't care.
Don't care?
Don't give a shit. Really don't. I don't think Scottish people care. They don't, do they?
Well, we'll soon find out. Yeah. Old Salmon.
It's all going
seems
on.
Seems to think it's going to happen.
I reckon they should have some pretty expensive sort of, like the, you know, the American president election. They really go for it. They should do that for the, like, pro-Scottish and non-Scottish.
Yeah.
Have musicians and big... They could have... Scotland could have Beyonce, have all the Scottish, your independence, throw your...
I like it.
Go on the trail, the campaign
They're definitely going to have to rebuild Hadrian's Wall. They're going to have to put some work into that. That's pretty disappointing, to be honest. Oh, let's go and see Hadrian's Wall. And it's like, really? That's a brick.
Yeah, it's rubble. It's a bit of rubble. That's going to give them some work, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. Extend that bad boy.
Bad boy. Hey, Andrew, yeah. I don't know about you, buddy, but I really feel like, I don't know, a song. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
Up for a song? Before that, let's play one of these little identity things.
FUBAR Radio.
Boom. Just to let you know what you're listening to, yeah? Just in case you didn't hear that one.
FUBAR Radio.
And one more time.
FUBAR Radio. Naughty radio.
That did things to me, that one. I'm going to use that one from now on. We've got our producer in the room. She's just hovering. Natalie, what's up?
What's up?
Yeah, do people still talk like that?
No.
Do they say what's up? Like the Budweiser thing, what's up? Is that gone?
I reckon it's coming back in retro, though, isn't it?
Yeah, let's do it.
I think it came in retro and now it's going out again.
Oh, so what do you say? Am I allowed, if I say what's up,
are you guys... Someone's going to judge you.
You're not going to respond...
Not me, mate. Someone will.
Are you going to respond positively about what's up?
Yeah, I will, because like, we're on radio and people are listening, but
right.
Mentally I've gone, oh,
but if I keep judge us. If I keep saying what's up, people probably won't listen.
No, they won't re-listen, definitely.
Okay, mate. Okay, well, I'm going to crack on with a tune. I guess
it's
I should
fancy.
Just... all it is you just push a button, mate. You just push a button. Like this. The Thrills, Big Sir. They're good, aren't they, The Thrills?
They're good.
Aren't they from Ireland?
Yeah.
But they sound California.
They sound West Coast. That was the whole attraction at the start, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They were otherworldly.
Where are they now, though? They haven't released an album for ages.
No. They're one of them bands. I don't know if you ever do that. I sometimes think to myself, what happened to them? And I do it with bands and football players.
Right.
And The Thrills was one I did recently.
You googled them.
Yeah, what's happening with them? I think they've now finally split up and they've all gone like solo and stuff like that. Huh. The other one, Athlete. Do you remember Athlete?
Athlete's Foot. They were great.
Their first album was amazing, and then the second album was good as well.
Hold on, were they the one that did Wires?
Yeah, that was the second
Wires
album.
Coming in. Yeah, that's a good song.
Yeah, they were
sad
good.
Song though, because it was about his prematurely born baby.
She survived.
Yeah, great song then.
Yeah,
great song.
So great. Oh, yeah. I did it. It's quite funny when you do gigs at universities and you see bands you loved now doing the same venue you're doing.
Yeah.
That's trash. It's all Goldie looking chain. Gold. How would you
the
say
GLC.
That? Yeah. Doing a uni. There was about 20 people in there. And I think a lot of them were doing it ironically.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It is a shame. Years and years ago, I did a gig at Liverpool University Freshers Week. I'm talking maybe as far back as 2003, possibly 2004. And we were playing in the main hall. We had about easily 600-700 students in there. It was an amazing gig. And in the interval, the events manager said, come and see the band that's in the small room. There's about 30 people in there, but this band is playing it like they're playing Wembley. And we went in, and this band was rocking out hardcore. And it was amazing. It was amazing. And we stood there watching it, just thinking, this is incredible. And then we had to go back in and finish our show. And it was easily maybe a year later that I heard a song on the radio. I was like, I know this song. It was The Darkness.
I know. Yeah, I reckon that show manager tells everyone that story.
Yeah, maybe.
So that was you that was there then?
I was there with Keith Carter.
Yeah. The show manager told me. I'll tell you who we had here recently.
The Darkness. But this was years ago. This was like 2003, before they became big, then went away. So coming up on the show, everybody, we've got an action-packed show. We've got the legendary trainer or aeroplaner quiz round. We're going to have sound effects for that when Andrew's practiced them enough. And we've also got Bullshit Detector, which is going to be a great round. We've got Bash the Bishop. We're going to finish the show on Bash the Bishop. We're going to be chatting to someone who's got a Guinness World Record, the fastest window cleaner. That's going to be pretty interesting.
That's a man that needs to be on radio.
Yeah, of course.
Let's get him on here.
Or scaffolding. And we've also got Geek of the Week, where we're going to speak to a proper geek, and we're going to celebrate it. It's not in any way going to be a negative thing. Geek of the Week is a celebration, because I think everyone's got a bit of geek in them, right? Like, looking at you, Andrew, no one would go, that guy's a bit of a geek. But you know, like, I term, if you're a geek, is if you know too much information about a certain subject. You know, more information than you actually need to get on with your day-to-day life on.
Yeah.
Like, you know a lot about Oasis and
Beatles.
Do you know what I mean?
I once watched the Beatles anthology box set in a row. It's 11 hours.
Wow, geek.
Back to back. Ordered a pizza in. Didn't move except to urinate.
Great.
Then watched the extra features at the end, mate.
And you got a Beatles-themed pizza in, didn't you?
Yes. I got a Sergeant Red Pepper.
Nice.
Hello.
We got there. I threw that one at you and you ran with it. But coming up now, right now, is Weird News of the Week. Week.
Should I do it?
Do what?
The Weird News of the Week.
Weird News of the Week. Week. That's not a pre-record. That's live. What's happening there? I could change the weird up to make Weird News of the Week. Yeah, I made
sounded
it sexy
like you enjoyed
end.
That a lot.
I made it sexy at the end. It's like, because initially it was a bit ugh, and then it went sexy. It's like if the Elephant Man, it turned out it was a mask and underneath was Channing Tatum. Weird News of the Week. What have you got, Andrew?
I'm doing it now, am I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was what that big intro was for.
I know, but I thought you were going to do some more.
Some more weird. No.
You look like you're really enjoying it. I think you enjoyed that a lot more than you're going to enjoy the news in a lot of ways.
Well, let's find out, buddy.
Okay. Well, you know when you read a headline, you think, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
And then the headline's far better than the story. Headline was, sewer blocked by large poo.
Brilliant.
I thought, oh, this will be good.
Here we go.
Oh, here we are.
And we've all had one like that.
Oh, it's going to be a bloke. Like, yeah. You know when you see a bloke who's like running a ward because he's grown the largest marrow,
yeah,
and he's holding it. I had images of that.
Yeah.
But no.
But we've all had that poo that was so big that afterwards you just felt a little bit lonely. So what was the meat of the story?
What, like an exorcism?
Yeah.
Out,
demon! Splash.
I have got a mate who we went to a wedding and we shared a hotel room, like a small travel lodge. And I don't know why I think of this at least once a month and it makes me laugh. He was in the toilet doing that one.
Yeah.
So he knew I could hear him if he shouted. So while he was doing it, he shouted, "Get out of me!"
Oh, nice.
And that makes me laugh on a monthly basis. It'll always pop in my head. So I've clicked on that, thought that'll be funny, this will be funny. It was quite factual and boring. It
right.
was a list of stuff found in sewers.
Oh.
That was it, I know. It was quite the build up. Found down manholes, a pink lady's bike, a fax machine, and a Winnie the Pooh teddy bear. That's what they've done. That is a man who he wrote the headline, he thought that'll sell that story.
They'll pull people in.
Without any actual substance to it.
Hang on, how do you flush a fax machine down the toilet?
That stuff was chucked down like a manhole cover in the sewer. That's what I thought. So I read that and then read that and thought, fax machine? How did they flush that? And then realised they just dumped it. So fly tipping.
Yeah. So if a fax machine was in the sewer and it was still plugged in and it was receiving a fax and someone walked past a drain pipe and heard... They might think a Scouser's trapped down there.
Oh. Yeah. And there was a list of stuff that has also been accidentally flushed down the toilet.
Okay. Go on.
Of which there is some of the classics. Mobile phone.
Done.
Happened. Done. Pair of jeans.
That's not an accident.
No, that's someone who's had an accident.
Yeah. And is covering it up.
I'm not even washing these. I'm flushing the lot. That's a three flusher, I reckon. That's a
flusher. Easily, man.
And a toilet brush poker.
Yeah. that's a classic combo.
False teeth. You can see what's up in there. Someone's going, "I just flush the toilet." Oh, no, every time.
Or they've been surprised at what they've seen in there and they've opened their mouth and it's just slipped out.
I thought there was no amount of bleach that's cleaning them.
No, they're not going back in. I'm not going back in.
So down the fax machine, that was a bit of the old fly tipping. Always thought fly tipping for a long time was like cow tipping. Have you heard of that in England? Yeah. Do you have that in New Zealand?
Yeah, of course we do.
Yeah, where cows are asleep.
Cows fall asleep on their feet. And
that's an entirely better skill, isn't it? To find a sleeping fly.
Yeah, and catch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
on that cow thing. There was another thing that we used to do in New Zealand growing up. My cousins lived on a farm. Well, not they lived near a farm, and we didn't do cow tipping. But what we used to do on really really cold mornings, where it was frosty and icy, is we'd put our gum boots on, our welly boots,
uh-huh.
no socks, and we'd walk through these icy fields, and your feet would just be frozen because it's just rubber around your feet. They'd be frozen, and you'd find the freshest cow pat to stand in, and it would be steaming hot, and you'd stand in it, and it would warm your feet up.
You really did that?
We had one TV channel, okay? We had to make our own fun.
Well, putting your foot in poo.
You can say shit.
Putting your foot in poo.
Shipoo.
But you not suffer from chilblains? How would you say that? Chilblades? Have you heard of that?
I've heard of chill blades.
You know, I used to play rugby, I'd freeze in hands, and then get in the changing room, shower, your hands would itch and burn.
Yeah, but that's a rookie mistake. Why jump straight into a hot shower? You've got to slowly ease into it. Put your hands under your armpits first for a while.
They were cold as well.
Everything was cold. Hey, well, that's good weird news of the week, mate. So we need trainer or aeroplaner to happen. So anybody out there listening can call us in on 0330-223-0200. I'll say that using numbers and not letters. 0330-223-0200. Tweet us at FUBAR Radio. Email christmas@fubarradio.com. Let's listen to another track, shall we? I just need to hit a button. We'll be right back. Broken Bells after the disco. Great track. Great great band. It's two of them. Still a band?
Yeah.
Still a band.
Band.
Still a band. Still a band if there's two. One is not a band.
No.
No. No.
Those are
Bruno Bruno Mars is not a band.
He's no band. He's no band. He's a good singer. He can't go enter in a battle of the bands.
Can he though?
No, he's going in there unarmed.
He's solo. He's going on The Voice.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. I would turn if I heard Bruno Mars singing.
Yeah, well, a little look over
as soon
shoulder.
As he says grenade, boom, I'm around.
Yeah.
I'm around. So we have got someone on the line who has got a Guinness World Record. We've been put in touch with him through. We've got a great relationship with Guinness World Records, haven't we?
We have. Excellent relationship.
Who have asked us to say they're not known as Guinness Book of World Records
not anymore.
Not anymore.
Guinness World of Records.
Guinness World of Records. Because, you know, unfortunately, books are going a bit out of fashion, aren't they?
Who reads books anymore?
Psh, yeah. Not me. I do. I've got a Kindle, though. And I think Kindles are great, but you can't lend a mate a book, you know? Because I lent Andrew Lord of the Rings. It was on my Kindle, and that was 2 years ago. I haven't got it back, mate.
Bit wordy, mate.
Yeah, a little bit wordy. And the pictures on the Kindle aren't that great. Mm. So anyway, we're not here to talk about Kindle. it's Guinness. No, Guinness World of Records. Yeah, you just got to swap that world around.
Yeah.
Yeah, swap book for world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that works for a lot of things, right? I don't know where that's going. So we're going to talk to him. His name is Terry Burrows. T-Dog, are you in the house?
Good afternoon, guys. You're talking to Terry Turbo Burrows, commonly known as Tell I Is, because America's got Will I Am right, but Great Britain has got Tell I Is.
Yeah, Tell I Is. How have you worked that out, though? Because that's not, because Will I Am is William, but Tell I Is, what's that?
That's why it's special, because no one's got that. I've got that, Tell I Is. That's kind of a self-statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Say, like, you know, I'm in the same league as Usain Bolt, because that's what they class me as, the Usain Bolt of window cleaners. And I have to say, I've met the great guy not too long ago.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. He was on BBC One, the One Show, in September, and we was going to have a race off. Would you believe this?
Amazing.
He was going to have a race off, and his management won't let him do it.
Really?
So we got the fastest legs here, and he got fastest hands here, and it was going to be he trying to clean the window up against me. So it would have looked like me running against him on the track. He would have left me behind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But when he's in your manner, that's when you take him down.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. It's like a cheater.
Do you use the same sort of preparation as Usain Bolt for your fast window cleaning? Do you eat loads of chicken nuggets? Because that's what he famously did in Beijing, didn't he? Was that
the Chinese food
didn't agree with him, so he just ate chicken nuggets?
The fact is, I'm so looking forward to next March, because first time ever in this country, the cleaning show is going to Docklands. It's been there before, but what's going to happen at the XL Docklands is very special. We're going to have the World Window Cleaning Championship held at XL Docklands in March.
Mate.
And I'm going to be throwing the gauntlet open to the world. So we're inviting people from America all over to come over to this international competition. So I'll be flying the flag till I is for Great Britain.
That's so cool, man. And are you going to branch out into extreme window cleaning?
Who knows? You never know. I mean, could do. I mean, I'm a black belt in karate, so what's the possibilities? They're endless. I mean, the world record stands now at the moment is just 9.14 seconds to clean three windows measured by 45 by 45 in a windowsill as well. It's just nuts. It's like 16 moves to the world record.
Yeah, and so did you, because you're a black belt, I don't want to show off, mate, but, you know, when I was about 12, I did karate. And I was pretty average, but we did a kata. Did you practice your window moves and turn them into a kata?
That's absolutely correct.
All right.
You know, to become a black belt in karate, you have to learn like something like 10 katas, as it were.
Yeah.
The world record is exactly like that, because it is, you know, most people go at these three winners and they have no
plan. Yeah,
exactly. So, whereas I have a plan, there is five moves on a particular window, each window. But what I'm really saying is, I have to clean a window in like 2 seconds.
Wow.
And move.
Yeah.
if that makes sense.
That is some proper wax on, wax off shit right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Guys half my age cannot compete with what I do. It's because I took the karate. Originally, I was a boxer, so you can see right. where this is leading up. When
yeah,
I was
yeah.
10,
you smashed windows.
It was fast hands all the time, you
yeah.
see?
Okay, cool. How old are you,
yeah.
though? Are we allowed to know how old you are? Because you just said guys half your age.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you. I'm so the wrong side of 45.
Great. Well, you, mate, you sound like you're the right side of 12, so I'm comfortable.
Do you know what's funny as well? You see, my Twitter handle, right? Nobody's
yeah.
got this. I think this is cool. It's @fastestonearth.
Really? That's
and
pretty
I just
good.
I followed you guys, so you should be
yes.
checking up your Twitter.
Yes. You followed us so quickly as well that you're actually... You've overtaken us and we're following you now.
Yeah, you're
yeah,
clean
that's
trail.
Cool. I love it. I love it.
Is there a specific product that you use that makes your squeegee move faster?
No, not really. You know, when you're doing the Guinness World Records, everybody has to have the same equipment, so it's
right.
pretty fair.
Yeah. So no sneaking in some fairy liquid or anything like that.
That's going to leave streaks, isn't it? That's going to leave streaks.
You're very up on this because obviously you've got to use a little bit of soap, which is normal. You have to. But, you know, the rules and regulations are very, very serious. You have to cover the window completely. And what it is, it's judged as well by adjudicators and
wow.
stopwatches
wow.
and two stopwatches. So they have to take the slowest time. When you complete the record, I mean, I actually complete my record in 8.14 seconds. But unfortunately, I left two marks behind on the window, and this is where it becomes really,
really
difficult.
Really tricky.
Terribly difficult. So it would have been 8.14, but in order
Hold
to...
Hold on, so you took a point second to clean up those streaks?
Yeah, it's...
Wow.
It's what it is they had a second... If you have two... marks on the window. It's like
right.
half a second added on your actual
okay.
time.
Okay.
All right. So,
Had there been a record already set, and then you just came in and smashed it?
Actual fact, yes. I'm going to say yes to that because I'm going to take you way back to 1995.
Oh, I can't remember back then, mate.
When I first appeared on BBC Record Breakers, there was a world record set at the time, and I had to go on and break it on television, which I did. But then the rules and regulations got changed, and
yeah.
then here I am today. I've actually taken about 7 world records,
mate.
But beating myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what beating myself is like.
Yeah. And being a window cleaner, you may have seen a few people doing that, haven't you?
Oh, dear.
Because I had that not long ago. I was thinking of treating myself, and then then the window cleaners turned up, and
wow.
I thought, wow, that was close. Imagine
yeah. so
that.
Glad your internet connection was bad that
yeah,
day.
Yeah, imagine doing that looking up as a bloke with a fag squeegee.
Yeah. Guys, I got one story for you. Many, many years ago, when I used to work in the Cradles, you know, up the side of the building.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay, there was this company, who should be nameless, like Boots, you know. They
yeah.
were overlooking this pub, and they were like, hi, they're 5 floors high. And we used to clean the windows, and on the back of the building, it looked over the pub. Well, the pub looked onto the bathroom window, which the lady pulled the blinds. But she had the blinds, the Venetian blinds, the wrong way. So if you were above, you saw right into it.
Wow, so you saw a lady doing a wee-wee.
I saw her doing everything, man. It took ages doing this, that job. We took weeks doing that
yeah,
job.
I bet
we kept
you
there
did.
Every day.
I bet you did. Now, this is the thing. This is what I'm picturing for these world champs, mate. This is epic. Is it going to be a huge ceremony? People will buy tickets? Because I'm picturing the three windows you have to clean. Behind each window is
yep.
like a model dancing and stuff like that. You know, there's lights, there's what's that mist stuff that gets pumped out?
Dry ice.
Oh, yeah, dry ice.
Strobe lights, and then boom, we're into it. And it's hosted by Vernon Kay.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if it's going to be like that, but I can promise you, as from sort of middle of this year, the PR in it's going to be quite big.
Cool.
That I can tell you.
I think it's more going to be a two-way mirror, like a police interview.
Yeah.
He's going at it, and there's... adjudicators right up close and he doesn't know.
I just hope Sky Sports covers it because
yeah.
I'm going to be really excited.
Sky TV may well cover it. They've covered me before. So
hey, nice. Well, listen, mate, best of luck to you. Thank you so much for telling us everything there. Tell I is. You're a bloody legend, mate. Represent.
Yeah, squeegee for Britain.
Thanks, buddy.
Cheers, buddy.
See you later.
Goodbye,
bye.
Guys.
Bye. Holy good God shit. That sounds amazing. He's off the line.
All right.
I'm allowed to say that. he sounded epic. I just love that that someone's just gone, I'm actually really good at this, gone for it. You know, it's like when you go to cabaret shows and you see someone, you know, doing a show with, I don't know, like 20 hula hoops. You just think, at what point in your life did you stop everything and just go, hula hoops?
Yeah.
This is me for the rest of my life, hula hoops. Because tell I is, he's found something. Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's great. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed that. We're going to move on to our next track. You're going to like this. You're going to like this, okay? It's Rodriguez, Sugar Man. We're going to talk about it afterwards.
Chuck it at me.
Rodriguez there. I love that track. I love Rodriguez. There's a documentary called Searching for Sugar Man, which is, I think, how a lot of people found out about this guy. You've seen it, haven't you? I've seen it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Andrew, you have not seen it.
And I think you've told me about it before.
I probably have.
Or if you haven't, somebody else has.
A lot of people have seen it. I can't believe you haven't seen it.
It's one of my music documentaries. One of my favourite things to watch.
I know. Well, what are you doing tonight, mate?
Gig.
In Leicester?
Yeah.
Where? What time? Plug it, mate.
Wow, that was a subtle way of plugging.
It was pretty good, wasn't it?
Cookie Crumble 7:30.
In Leicester.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. L-E... I'm after the postcode. When I watched Searching for Sugar Man, all the way through, I just thought, how have I not listened to this? It's like having never listened to Bob Dylan your entire life. Do you know what I mean? You're like...
Oh, I love that. When your whole next month or so has changed after, isn't it? It's like, how's my life been complete?
Me and my wife watched it. My wife and I... let's be sticklers for language on this show, all right? Because I think the English language is going down the toilet.
Right.
Yeah? With how the youth are talking with their bloody text speak and all that and lol and all that bullshit. Okay, so my wife and I, we perused. I'm going to get up now. We just watched a fucking movie, mate. It was Searching for Sugar Man, and after that we were addicted, and we flew down to New Zealand, and we saw Rodriguez at Perth Airport. He'd just finished doing his Australian tour,
right,
and he was off back to the States. So I was on my phone Googling it just because I was like, it can't be him. But then I saw he'd done a date in Perth, and then I was thinking, oh, maybe he's going to New Zealand, we can watch him in New Zealand, it's going to be amazing. And then I saw his next date was in bloody... Miami or something.
Yeah.
But
so what's the film about? You're not telling me what it's about.
I kind of don't. You kind of want to and you don't want to, right?
I think the story's quite well known.
Oh, is it?
I think you can tell it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Rodriguez, he was a musician back in what, the
60s?
60s, 70s.
Yeah.
And he made a couple of records, but they didn't go anywhere in the States. Literally nothing. But unbeknownst to him, someone had taken a record or two to South Africa, and he became massive in South Africa. But this is long before internet and all that.
So he had no idea.
More importantly, everyone in South Africa had no idea who he was. So everyone's trying to pick up clues as to who he is by the limited information they've got, which is his songs and the bits of information on his album covers. And this whole story starts building up in South Africa that this guy, Rodriguez, shot himself on stage. So this legend just begins in South Africa that you've got to listen to this guy. I mean, he killed himself on stage, but the music is incredible. So it became this huge thing. Mm-hmm. And then two journalists were obsessed with it. So they started researching it. This was in the, 2003?
Yeah.
Maybe as early as that. And they couldn't find him and stuff like that. And the whole documentary is about them finding Rodriguez, searching for Sugar Man. And then they find him and he ends up...
He's still a musician.
He's still a musician, but he's, you know.
I'd be gutted if but he's this legend.
A builder, isn't he, as well?
Yeah, he was playing a bit of music, but it wasn't his living. Do you know what I mean?
It would have been good if they, you know, tracked him down. He's like in IT or something like
that. Well, he was working on construction sites. That's what he was doing.
That's all right. That's the kind of thing you do while you're a musician. But
this is what this guy would... They interviewed his proper Detroit construction crew mates who are proper, you know, that... blue-collar American. And they're like, yeah, you always showed up to work in a tuxedo. You know, doing construction work in a tuxedo. Yeah, so I think you should check that out. And if anyone listening hasn't seen it, you should check it out. And speaking of checking out, we've got a couple of emails. Justine from Derby. What do you call it?
Derby, mate.
Even though it's D-E-R-B-Y. You guys just mess around with the English language. Reading is not reading, but it's spelt that way.
Well, we do definitely have a go at foreign people for not being able to speak a language we can't speak.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry about that, mate.
So Justine from Derby has said, great to hear the mighty Christmas on my smartphone. Hashtag geeks shall inherit the earth. Well, thanks for listening, Justine. And
thanks for calling me mighty. Yeah,
I'm really touched by that. Really touched by Mighty. I always like Mighty Mouse. Wee Jack from Brighton texted, what a fucking legend that window cleaner is. I hope he wipes the competition away with his mighty squeegee. And seeing squeegee written down has made me just realise what a great word it is. S-Q-U-E-E-G-E-E. Unless he spelt it wrong, but I like how he spelt it. Squeegee. So, my challenge to you is you've got to, before the next show, you've got to watch Searching for Sugar Man. Yep. Now, challenge me to a music documentary, and I'm not watching the Beatles anthology. I would rather, look, I like the Beatles, but the idea of watching that whole 11 hours of the Beatles, I would rather slam my cock in a car door.
I did have a mate who watched it, and I think it's incredible, but he goes, I'll stop watching it. He goes, 5 hours in, it's still black and white. I've had enough. But, yeah. Have you seen Anvil?
No.
Similar to Searching for Sugar Man. You've seen it now.
Very good. Very good.
Wonderful. Okay. But I watched it thinking it was a film and realised it was a documentary.
Right.
And it's heart-wrenching. These two lovely blokes from Canada.
Yeah.
And you think that, like, the people who worked on it apparently thought this was a setup. They were going, they've got to be characters. They're actors.
Right.
We're not believing this rubbish. They're just relentlessly positive, even though things are going really badly for them.
Okay.
And my wife was booking a flight while I was watching it. She turns to me and she goes, what's up? I was in tears. I was crying like a baby watching this, mate.
Nice.
Get on with it.
I'll get on that. So that's my challenge. I'll watch Anvil. Are we going to challenge Natalie? Natalie, what are you going to watch?
She's seen both
of them.
I've seen the Metallica one. You must have seen that. That's a good one.
That's meant to be really good, isn't it?
Where they have their sort of therapist come in for daily sessions with Metallica. Also, the Dandy Warhols one, Dig. With Brian Jonestown Massacre. That's a classic.
Okay, but we've got to challenge you.
You challenged us.
Sorry, I challenge you to find out if there's a documentary on the 1990s band Two Unlimited.
Welcome to the Twilight Zone!
It's a Google job, that.
That is a Google job.
I believe one of them's died.
Did.
What about 7 Worlds Collide? Bit of New Zealand coming out.
No. Yeah, she'll enjoy that, though. I want to make her watch something she won't enjoy.
I want you
to watch the Justin Bieber one.
Oh, no.
Before we get back next week.
What about the One Direction movie?
No, Bieber.
Fancy.
Bieber.
No, we'll give you the option, because they're both equally painful.
Redundant.
Unless you like them. And, you know, I'm not their target market. Okay, my 4-year-old daughter loves You Don't Know You're Beautiful by One Direction. And because of her love for it, I love it, all right? But I'm not their target market, so, you know, I feel a bit bad slagging them off.
I'm not slagging them off. I'm just Matt Cardle till I die, mate.
Yeah. All right.
They were third that year. Let's remember that, can we?
Yeah.
Rebecca Ferguson. Yeah.
Really? Good knowledge.
Thanks, mate.
Okay, that's the challenge set down. I'm going to watch Anvil. You're going to watch Searching for Sugar Man. And you're going to watch either Justin Bieber or One Direction.
Great.
And then we're gonna play songs from those docos. Yeah?
I'm not saying the music in Anvil's good, but...
Sure, but we should do it.
Who got a short straw here? I think that's me.
No, you've got a very long straw. I hear it's a very long doco. So good luck with that. I'm going to play a track now. I watched this guy on Jules Holland's Hootenanny.
Oh, great.
And I always discover music that I like on that show. So
it's
a great way to spend New Year's, sitting on a couch, drinking champagne, watching that. Well, John Newman, I definitely can love you again. I never stopped loving you. A great track.
Lovely track.
Good to dance to.
It was for you.
I was watching it, mate. Built up a bit of a sweat. Got my sweat on. Natalie, you got a sweat on?
I'm a bit moist.
Whoa!
Sweaty.
Well, all right, whatever. Moist is not the word you use for sweaty. Moist is making every man in the building think of something else.
Girls can't say the word moist.
Ever. They cannot. You glow.
FUBAR!
Moist. That's going to be our catchphrase for the
clammy.
Rest.
Clammy.
Clammy. Mm, clammy is a good... But if a girl said, you've just made me really clammy, that's not the same, is it?
FUBAR Radio.
Clammy. What other words? Come on, there's so many good words, isn't there? No. Yeah. Let's just keep thinking. Let's just keep thinking.
Glistening.
Glistening. You've made me glisten between my legs.
Stodgy.
You've made me stodgy.
That sounds like somebody who's not had a bath.
Stodgy sounds like someone's got a pizza growing down there. Yeah. Which isn't, it's a yeast infection. Look out! Okay, so we're going to play the legendary trainer or aeroplaner?
Trainer.
What?
It was an aeroplane and there was a trainer.
Yeah, all right. We're going to keep working on that.
Yeah,
we'll keep workshopping that. Because if you do the flyby, like... Well, that was like a flyby.
Yeah, and then what? For the trainers, just a...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A pair of Patra Nike Airs.
Yep. Do you know, I don't know where the word trainer comes from, but I know where the word sneaker comes from.
Hit me with
that. Bit of a factoid coming your way. Yeah. There's arguments over two, but the Americans believe they came up with the term sneaker because on naval warships during World War II, they didn't want to have hard-nailed boots, you know, like proper military boots, because on the steel platforms they made too much noise and enemy submarines could pick up that noise quickly, so they rubber-soled shoes, hence they called them sneaking around the boat. The other story is from Gallipoli in World War One, when the ANZACs, which are the Australian and New Zealand Armed Corps soldiers, they were on the Gallipoli Peninsula, a very rocky service. They weren't in a great position at all because the English landed them on the wrong beaches. Cheers for that, guys. And so when they retreated, they couldn't let the Turkish soldiers know. So what they did is they set up all these loads of rifles with quite an ingenious thing of string tied to the trigger and then tied to, you know, in a little pulley system to a tin that with another one slowly dripping water in. So whenever the can got full, it pulled the trigger, and at the same time as pulling the trigger, the can emptied and went back up and then would slowly start filling up with water again. So there was sporadic fire as they were leaving, and to muffle all their hobnailed boots, they put bandages and stuff like that, anything to muffle the sound. And they said, you know, the term became that they were wearing sneakers because they were sneaking out. And that's where it all came from. So that is a huge introduction to the legendary trainer or aeroplaner. Yes! Oh, that is a flyby. Now, we've got someone on the line. Let's get her up. It's Katie, isn't it? Hello, Katie.
Hey, yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, I took a long time to introduce that. That
she getting charged for this phone call?
That's all right. It was interesting.
No, was it interesting, though, K-Dog?
It was very interesting.
Yeah. Is that your nickname? Do you get called K-Dog? K-Maximum?
I don't get called K-Dog very often.
What do you get called?
Catch on, maybe.
What's your nickname?
My initials are K-E-B, so I get called Keb quite a lot.
Keb. That's pretty good. I like that, Keb. All right, Kebster. Here we go, just changing it up. Okay, so I'm going to throw some names of trainers and aeroplaners at you, and you just have to guess which is which. So the first one up.
Cool.
First one up. Feel the tension. Waco 10. Waco 10. Andrew's going to play as well, though, so I'm going to get his answers as well. Trainer. You've said trainer for Waco 10. Andrew, what are you saying?
It's got a military feel. I'm going aeroplaner.
Okay, well, sorry to tell you, Kebster, but Waco 10 is an aeroplane. It's an aeroplane.
Oh.
It was first introduced in 1927. The Waco 10 was an open cockpit, three-place biplane made of a steel tube and fabric construction. It quickly accounted for more than 40% of the aircraft sold in that year. That's way back in 1927.
Oh.
Yeah, Waco 10.
Don't
worry, plenty of time to catch up. Plenty of time to catch up.
Okay.
Keep score, Andrew. You've got one.
Okay.
Okay, the next one, ZX Flux Trainer.
Oh, it sounds too obvious to say trainer.
Right.
I'm going to say trainer anyway, though.
Okay. What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, I know what you mean, Katie. He's got trainer in there. Sounds like a double bluff. I'm going trainer.
Well done, guys. I'll be honest with you, when I wrote that down, I wrote the answer right beside it and accidentally read it out. So, well done.
Oh, okay.
That's essentially a free point. Well done, guys.
This is the level of this quiz, Katie, so you relax, yeah?
But I liked how you...
I liked how you were saying about it.
It could be a double bluff. It could be a double... and I just genuinely made a mistake by reading out the... it's an Adidas trainer. And I don't know if you know this, but... Adidas stands for?
After dinner, I dreamt about sex.
Close. It's actually from abbreviating the man who invented a certain type of trainer, Adidasler. His children took over the company and they shortened the name to his first name, Addy, and then Daz. So,
nice.
You lose a point, Andrew.
That's fair enough.
Okay, the next one. Foam Posset Pro. Foam Posset Pro.
Are you going to say aeroplane?
Aeroplaner? Or trainer? Trainer or aeroplaner? K-Dog?
Trainer.
Trainer. Okay. What about you, Andrew?
Oh, no, I'm going aeroplane.
Okay. Well, Kibster, you're right. It is a trainer. It's a Nike trainer or Nike if you're a dick. So Foam Posset Pro, it's a basketball half boot. Okay, here we go. Ooh, this is heating up. So what are the scores there, Andrew?
It's 2-1 to Katie.
2-1 to Katie. Well done. Well done, Katie. Eclipse 500, trainer or aeroplaner?
What was that?
Eclipse 500.
Don't try and buy time.
Aeroplaner.
Aeroplaner. What are you saying, Andrew?
I'm sure I've heard of them. I'm going trainer.
Wow, trainer. There we go. I'm sorry to say, Katie. It is an aeroplane! Well done!
Yay. God,
Andrew's rubbish at that. The Eclipse 500. One of the most fascinating stories in all of aviation is that of the Eclipse 500 private jet, which was the ultimate private pilot's dream. But the company, Eclipse, went bankrupt. But the aeroplane survived. A new company has earned the production certificate for the Eclipse jet now, and it's very, very popular. Six-seater. So well done, Katie. We're getting an education and a quiz. Okay.
Amazing.
Is it, though? Okay, here we go. Your next one is Kamikaze. Oh. Trainer or aeroplane? Katie says aeroplane. Andrew?
Well, sounds Japanese. Aeroplane.
Aeroplane. Okay, well, you're both wrong.
What?
No, look, I see where you get it, what's happened here. Because the kamikaze pilot was the thing in World War II of a suicidal Japanese pilot. The plane you're thinking of is a Zero Sen. So the kamikazes, what they would do is they'd fly their planes into American warships and sacrifice themselves, but it was seen as a great honour to do that. And so then they started building planes that were literally just a flying bomb that pilots, because the pilot could sort of duck and weave when a missile sort of couldn't do that. Right. That's where the kamikaze comes from. But this is actually a Reebok trainer.
Wow.
The kamikaze.
Oh.
They look pretty badass. I think they're coming out next month. So Google it.
Well, they new?
Yeah, they're a new trainer.
Well, you're chucking in new ones, are you?
Yeah, why not, mate? Why not? Oh. Why not? Are you still there, Katie, or have you given up?
I'm still here.
Great, because I find all this aeroplane shit really fascinating, but as I'm speaking it, I can see Andrew slowly switching off.
I'm worried she's on a premium rate phone call here.
Yeah, that's true.
I know.
Don't worry, we'll send you out. What does she win, Natalie, if she wins? If Katie wins, what can we...
She wins your very best wishes.
Our best wishes. do with that as you will, Katie. This is well worth your time. Okay, so here we go. Here we go. The next one is P-38 Lightning. Oof. Trainer or aeroplaner? Katie?
Hello.
Hi, are you still there?
I'm here. Yeah, the line went.
Oh, really? Or... Okay. P-38 Lightning. Did you hear that? P-38 Lightning. Trainer or aeroplane?
No, I didn't. P-38
Lightning. Trainer? What are you saying, Andrew?
Yeah.
I thought she was just really concentrating.
Yeah, I thought so too.
She's gone for a while. it's a bit immature to call an aeroplane Lightning.
Come on, no, mate. I'm you're
going
taking
I'm
the
going
series.
Aeroplane.
You're going aeroplane. Katie, sorry to say, it is an aeroplane, the P-38 Lightning. World War II American fighter plane. It's that iconic one that's a tiny fighter plane, but it's got the two engines, and it's joined at the back. It looks like a bit of a box. On April the 18th, 1943, the P-38 Lightning became famous because of this. Flew one of its most famous missions when 16 P-38Gs were dispatched from Guadalcanal to intercept a transport carrying the commander-in-chief of the Japanese combined fleet, Admiral Isoroku Yamamoto, near Bougainville. They skimmed along the top of the waves to avoid detection. The P-38 succeeded in downing the Admiral's plane as well as three others, and that was crucial in shortening the war. The aircraft also benefited from having its armament mounted in the nose. Unlike most fighters at the time with wing-mounted guns, the P-38 did not need to set its guns to converge at a given range. This meant the P-38 pilots could engage targets at a longer range, sometimes avoiding the need to close with Japanese aircraft, which famously the Zero Sen, the Japanese aircraft, more maneuverable than the P-38. So if they could take them out at long distance, that was a good thing. Noted US ace, check this guy's name out, Major Dick Bong, frequently chose to shoot enemy planes down in this fashion from a long range. Major Dick Bond.
That was my favourite bit of that info. What about you, Katie? It was the Dick bit.
Major Dick Bong. That is
what a
great
name.
It is a great name. But the thing is, back then, no, Dick didn't have the connotations to it. And no one had ever built a bong back then. But imagine building a Dick Bong these days.
Imagine.
Hey,
stoned.
I'll tell you what, I'm not having a toke on that one.
People stoned staring at it going, it's a dick.
Okay. Major one too.
Okay, strap in team, there's two more to go. Two more to go. What are the scores, Andrew?
I think it's 3-1, is that
three,
right?
3-2.
3-2. 3-2. Oh, okay. Katie, you're still in the lead. All to play for. All to play for. Bermuda QS. Bermuda QS. Trainer or aeroplaner?
Trainer.
Andrew, quick stacks.
I'm going to go aeroplane.
You're wrong, Andrew. It's a trainer. It's a Nike trainer.
That's me out
there. Well done. Yeah, you've got no shot. Now, the last one. This could be a tough one. Trainer or aeroplaner? Hindenburg.
I'm playing for pride here.
Hindenburg. Katie, trainer or aeroplaner? Hindenburg.
Aeroplaner.
Okay. Andrew?
I'm going trainer.
Well, you're both wrong. It's actually an aircraft. At just 78... The Hindenburg, it was the big Zeppelin thing. Do you remember the Hindenburg disaster? With the famous quote of the news reporter reporting on it as he saw it crash down. He went, oh, the humanity.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, I've got some information on it.
What trainers was he wearing?
Exactly.
That's
could
what
have saved him.
Us.
Could have run away. Here we go. At just 78 feet shorter than the Titanic, the Hindenburg remains the largest aircraft ever to take to the air, more than seven decades after its maiden flight in 1936. No one's built anything that flies that's bigger than this thing. That's what that's saying. Built on the success of its predecessor, the Graf Zeppelin, the Hindenburg was equipped to hold more than 7 million cubic feet of hydrogen and could produce 242.2 tons of gross lift, an amount 112 tons greater than its own weight. That's like an ant. Process that information how you will. While the Hindenburg was originally designed to use helium, the United States refused to yield its monopoly on the substance to Nazi Germany, resulting in a recrafting of the Zeppelin for hydrogen, which made it way more dangerous. So the Americans, they knew what they're doing. The aircraft carried more than 2,500 passengers across the Atlantic before it burst into flames while landing in Lakehurst, New Jersey in 1937, killing 36 people and attracting enough press attention to end the burgeoning era of passenger airship travel. So we've played a quiz and we've got an education. That's what's happened here. Oh the humanity. Oh the humanity. Radio. Oh the humanity. Hey, Katie, thank you so much for sticking with us through that. You won.
Oh, no, it was fun. Very
good.
Informative.
Good. You won. 4 points to how many did Andrew
two.
Get?
Two. A drubbing.
You doubled his score. That's great. Katie, you've genuinely got our best wishes. And
best ones.
Please keep listening because in a few weeks we'll hopefully be able to actually get proper prizes. And I think if you ring up when we've got proper prizes, we'll just give you one.
Oh,
Yeah, we'll reimburse you.
Yeah.
Like a shoe voucher.
Yeah, like a shoe voucher would be good, wouldn't it? Shoe voucher.
Okay.
Marks and Spencer's voucher. Maybe like £2.50. You could go and get some carrot sticks and hummus.
Some air miles.
Oh, would you like air miles? Yeah. That's appropriate.
That'd be good, yeah. That'd be nice.
Well, Katie,
like two or three
you,
or
you sound like one of the nicest people in the world, and you've put up with a lot of shit today, and I appreciate that. And I hope you go out to the pub tonight and bore someone with the facts you've learned about the Hindenburg.
Oh, I can't wait. Major dick bomb.
Major dick bomb. That's stuck with
all
everyone.
She's taken.
Amazing. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye. 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 Love you. Love you. Bye. Love you. Love you. Bye. Wow. That was intense, wasn't it?
Yeah,
can't believe you lost that, mate. Can't believe it.
She was focused.
She was good, man. She knew what she was doing. Yeah. She knew what she was doing. She wasn't messing around. All right. Let's hit another track. We are at 7 minutes past two. We were meant to play this track just before two, so I think we're on schedule, guys. I think we're on schedule. So here it comes, coming your way. It is Lord with Royals.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. Let me live that fantasy.
Great. Lord, Royals, cracking song.
Lovely.
Yeah, she's a Kiwi. She's a Kiwi.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she's pretty young too. Not that that matters. She can hit those high notes though, so fair play to her.
Yeah.
Mate, it's the moment we've been waiting for.
Let's do battle.
It's the song battle.
Song battle! Get your songs ready! Fighters! Prepare yourselves for song combat!
I don't know what voice that was.
That was
song battle! Even.
Clang, clang, ching, ching.
Why?
That's proper battle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Unless we want guns. Let's do guns. Let's do guns. Okay.
Song battle!
That's not fair. I've only got a knife.
That's gone girly. What, like good. A samurai?
Samurai knife?
Yeah. Samurai, so, but remember the samurai, last samurai where they...
Of course, yeah.
Suddenly
yeah.
turned up with swords and they just went...
Yeah, someone brought a sword to a gunfight.
But don't worry, Cruise survived.
Of course he did.
Tom Cruise, of course he survived on behalf of all their people.
Yeah.
Hey, so you flying the flag.
Thanks for changing Japanese history to include a very short American.
Yeah.
I like Tom Cruise, though, so he can do whatever the hell he wants. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even... You know, even when he did that weird shit on Oprah that time, jumping on the couch and stuff, I still sat there going, I like you, mate.
Yeah,
I like you,
just
Tommy.
You stuck with him.
TC, I'm with you all the way.
I saw at the cinema, I'm not one for slagging off films, but we're in your neck of the woods, Auckland.
Yeah.
Massive cinema.
Big one.
Went to see Oblivion. At the end
you
of
didn't
it.
You like Oblivion?
It was so bad, I felt like I played a practical joke on myself.
Wow.
Someone summed it up perfectly at the end of the film. Someone went, that would have been great if nobody spoke. It looked amazing. But.
I quite enjoyed Oblivion.
It was all right to watch, but I felt like, is this just a long sort of message for Scientology?
No.
That's how it felt at the end. I thought,
no.
No?
No.
I quite like
that. If you want a long message on Scientology, that's Battlefield Earth with John Travolta.
Oh, really?
The film that practically derailed Travolta's career. Like, you know, Tarantino went, hey, Travolta, I'm going to put you in Pulp Fiction and revitalise your career. And I want to know what film that Tarantino saw Travolta in to think he could play a hitman. You can't have watched Look Who's Talking and gone, let's get that guy.
Song battle!
Oh, yeah.
So this song battle is based on the first album that me and Andrew bought as children with our own money. With your own money.
Yeah.
Because sure, your parents might have got you things that you wanted and stuff, but this is the first album you bought with your own money. And your album was, Andrew?
Well, mine's quite hazy. I don't know about you, because I listen to a lot of music, but you didn't buy any of it for eight. Like, they go on about stealing music now, but we didn't buy music when we were younger.
It was no.
It was lent, recorded.
You
off
recorded
the radio.
It off the radio, yeah. It Top was, nine at nine!
It was, yeah.
Here we go with... boom, shake the room, DJ Jesse Jeff.
Yeah. But then I remember going into town. Because I can't complain about buses because you grew up in New Zealand. But the bus to where I grew up, our bus to our town centre was Northampton.
Oof.
That's where we went.
and it was about an hour.
You don't
and
even
a bit.
Want to get a car to that place.
It's an hour and a bit bus journey through every village in South Northants, and at the end of it was Northampton. And so that the first time I ever went in and bought an album would have been on tape, and it I'm sure it was Green Day Ducky.
Green Day Ducky.
Ducky.
Ducky. Ducky. Yeah. Not Ducky.
Yeah, it's not a northerner saying Ducky. 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 No, I think it was Ducky, wasn't
okay,
it?
Is that how you say it? Here's a flash of your song. It's just the start. Good start. Mm. Good drums. Good drums.
Atmospheric. But the main thing I remember about that song was the lyrics, Masturbation's Lost Its Fun.
Wow.
But it makes sense. But you didn't hear the second bit. That meant when masturbation's lost its fun, you're effing lonely. That's how it went.
Yeah.
But all anyone remembered from that was masturbation's lost its fun. And I was like 14 at the time.
How can this lose its fun?
I was at the start of my sort of self nookie. I was a self-nookie rookie.
Nice.
When I was listening to Ducky, bang!
Boom.
That's the way, there you go. And, I couldn't imagine it ever losing its fun.
I know. And do you remember that first time when you didn't really know what was going on? You're like, do I need a wee? Do I need a... Oh, my God, that's not wee!
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your album. I vividly remember, at the age of 8... are you hanging in there with us, Natalie?
I'm here.
Masturbation bit. That didn't go disgusting, though, did it? We kept it quite cutesy.
Could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse, and trust me, it has been worse. I remember at the age of 8, I saved up loads of pocket money and I went and bought a record. A record. Don't get me wrong, cassettes and CDs were around, but my mum and dad had a record player as well, and for some reason I just went for this. A record, the Ninja Turtles soundtrack, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie. I bought the soundtrack to that, and the one song on there that blew me away was T-U-R-T-L-E Power by Partners in Crime. Here's a little blast of it. Good start. Atmospheric. Already you can see Ninja Turtles fighting thugs.
Dimly lit. Yep. Shadows appearing.
Listen to that.
I remember.
The great thing about it was you learnt to spell at the same time.
Yeah, for the kids.
So, this is the song battery. So, open up your apps, your FUBAR radio apps, and go into interactive and go into the slap or clap section. You're going to vote which song to hear. It's either going to be Longview by Green Day or T-U-R-T-L-E Power by Partners in Crime. If you want Longview, Green Day, hit the slap option. And if you want Turtle Power, hit the clap option, okay? And whichever one gets more through the course of this next song will be the winner in the song battle. Mom! All right, that was realistic. While you guys are doing that, we're going to play a song from Childish Gambino, who is awesome, Donald Glover. He's a stand-up comic as well. You might know him from Community. He's one of the main parts in Community, and he's actually a fantastic stand-up comic as well. And then you hear, stand-up comic's done a rap album. This is going to be lame, and it's awesome. It's really good. So soak this shit up, people. And do the slapping and clapping while it's playing.
Yeah.
But not really. You see the nastiest shit in Ben, it's fucking awesome.
Childish Gambino, Heartbeat. That was a low-key way to come back in after a great song like that, wasn't it?
You sound like you're embarrassed by the filthy language that man was using.
Creative filthy language, though. That's what elevates it, mate. It wasn't just swearing for the sake of it.
He swore well, mate.
He fucking swore well. I don't know why we went camp. So the results are in for the song battle. You got like 3 dudes with that spray effect there.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
What weapon were you using?
I was going for the Kalashnikov.
Kalashnikov?
Yeah.
AK-47?
Yeah. Just to honour him, really. He died recently, didn't he?
Did he? The dude who invented it?
Kalashni.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a great bit of info that I did not know.
Wow, you were up on your army info.
Yeah, it's up there. Him dying is up there with the guy dying last year who invented the kebab. Do you remember that?
No, but you'd expect him there was to die quite early, wouldn't you?
There were loads of jokes of, he'll be turning in his grave and stuff like that, you know. Oh, Donna, tell me that. Donna, tell me that. And I just thought, and someone else famous died at the same time. And I was kind of like, no one's making, how come, because this guy did something quite funny, which has affected all of us, which is create the, you know, the rotating kebab thing. This guy created that. And then, you know, he's passed away, but we're allowed to joke about that because that's actually quite funny. But, you know, not doing jokes about Philip Seymour Hoffman, are we?
No.
God, he was brilliant, though, wasn't he?
Good. He was good.
Really good. Even in Mission Impossible, he was really good. So, Tom Cruise film again. We're back on him. Don't worry. I'm going to see how many Tom Cruise references I can chuck in.
Yeah.
Chuck in. God. Song battle. Who's going to be the Top Gun? There's one. Okay. Clap and slap. It's in. The people have voted with their fingertips, Andrew. Glad I got that out. 59.1%. That's the majority. What do you reckon it's for?
That's a trousing.
What do you think it's for? I'm not even going to announce it. I'm just going to play it. Okay? So 59.1% clapped. 40.9% slapped.
Song battle. Victor.
Yes! Yes! Everybody loves a bit of Ninja Turtles. In your face, Green Day. Go and do a duet with Norah Jones.
D-U-R-T-L-E. D-U-R-T-L-E. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
My lord. Wow.
That's a deserved victory.
That is a cracking track, isn't it?
The people spoke and they were right.
They were absolutely right. What the world needs is more music inspired by Mutant Turtles, a mutant rat who teaches them, some weird reporter that somehow befriends them and weirdly falls in love with Raphael. Do you remember the kid who just has sporting equipment and beats people up with the sporting equipment? God, what was his name? We'll remember it. Shredder, who was just a dude who looked like a can opener.
That was my first ever pirate video.
Really?
Was the Turtles. I just remember that. It was the ones where they were filmed in the cinema and some bloke's head went right across the screen.
Brilliant.
Halfway from classic
pirate video. Hey, we've had a couple of emails, texts and tweets. Here we go. Someone about music docs that we were talking about earlier. An amazing music doc is End of the Century. It's awesome. The story of the Ramones. The next one is, hi Jared, I like this game. Not only fun, but also very educational. That's about trainer or aeroplaner. That's from Liam in Watford. Cheers, buddy. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, but can you get sarcasm across on an email?
All right, mate. The next one, Jeffrey texted from, good luck with this place name. Ecclefechan. I love aerospace history and I have feet usually adorned with sneakers. What a winning competition hashtag should be on TV. And then he's put a little note underneath. The Hindenburg was not a planer, though. It was an airship. And I did clarify that. I said both of them were wrong because they said trainer and aeroplaner. And that was a shifty one.
Shows you like the game, though, mate. Shows you liked it.
He's involved. And Akbar from Hull, which I initially read as Akbar from Hell, which a lot of people would agree with. I don't. I like Hull. I genuinely have a fondness for Hull. Turtles rule. Yes, we agree, Akbar. Thanks for listening, buddy. Right. We have someone on the line for Geek of the Week. Geek. Yeah. Or maybe you should do it in a digital sort of Stephen Hawking.
Geek of the Week.
Yeah. Nailed that. Nice.
Geek of the Week. Geek of the Week. It's addictive to do. Yeah. Geek of the Week. I've probably done it too much. Geek of the Week. It's so good. Geek of the Week.
Geek of the Week. We've got a Geek of the Week on the line. It's Rob. This man has got so many Daleks. Obviously a Doctor Who fan. Andrew Bird, I know you're not up to speed on Doctor Who, are you?
No. I don't dislike it. It's just one of them. I've just not got into it. I should ask him some questions.
I think
from
you should.
That point of view,
like a hard hitting investigative journalist. Be like April Jones in Ninja Turtles. That was her name, wasn't it? Might not be Jones. Yeah.
God, you plucked that out. Lovely.
I don't know. It just came. My hippocampus did me a good one there. My hippocampus did great, but the rest of my brain went, I don't know how to speak anymore. So here we go. We're going to chat to Rob now. He's been waiting patiently on the line. Andrew Bird's taken the lead on the hard-hitting questions. Rob, are you there?
Hello.
Great.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon, mate. Andrew Bird is going to be doing the hard-hitting questions. Are you ready for this, mate?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Right, I know nothing of Doctor Who. Don't take that personally. Maybe by the end of this, you could win me round.
Yeah.
So, okay. Is it just, so you've got how many Daleks?
I broke my own world record last year. I've now got 1,202 plus a few more, obviously, as I've been collecting since I broke my own record.
But that means every time you buy Dalek, you break your own record. Oh, that's great. Every time you go to a shop, record breakers.
Until somebody overtakes.
Oh. Do you high-five yourself every time you buy a new Dalek because you've just broken the world record again?
No, I just try and hide in behind the city so my wife doesn't see it. Because I get a slap for keep collecting.
Which maybe she's trying to high-five you in the face.
Yeah, on the back of the head.
Yeah. So, but where do you get Daleks from, though? You say you go and buy them. Where would I buy a Dalek?
More than likely from eBay, online shops. The first Dalek I bought was from... there was an advert in a newspaper about 25 years ago, and it was a company called Daypol that were based in Wales. I mean, the company's still there now, but they haven't got the licence to make Daleks. And that was the first one that I bought, was an Imperial Dalek, a little 4-inch one.
Right.
And I had a piece of paper with the different varieties of Daleks on, and I just kept buying one and buying another and buying another, and it just went from there.
So these aren't full-size Daleks?
No, I've only got the one full-size Dalek, fully remote-controlled talking.
Wow. That's what I had in my head as well, to be fair, Jared.
Yeah.
I had a house full of Daleks. Every time your wife tries to sit down and watch the telly, you sat next to her.
You know where she could watch the telly if it was in a house full of Daleks? Upstairs. Well, soak that information up.
where do you keep them? Where do you keep them all? You don't keep them upstairs, surely.
No, because they can't do stairs. Daleks
can't
do stairs.
They're all in my living room.
Yeah, but you could carry them up.
Oh, yeah, true.
But, they're all in the living room.
Yeah, except for the full-size one. That's kept in the garage.
Right.
Not quite enough room for the full size one as well. Plus, my wife won't allow me to have it in there either.
I think this says more about me than you, that when I think of a room full of Daleks, I'm just thinking of the dusting.
Oh, it's terrible.
Nightmare.
It is actually. Seriously, it's a nightmare because it takes me the best part of 2 days to bring them all down, dust them, dust the shelves.
It takes
and put
you
them
two
back.
Days to dust your Daleks.
Yeah, seriously. Oh.
Well, that is dedication to it.
Because you can't just pick up a cloth and sling it across them. You've got to use different size brushes, hoovers, to get in between all the bits and bobs on them.
But you must enjoy that, though, right?
For the first hour.
Yeah.
And then after that, it gets pretty boring, and, I just start getting bored and start, I think, I'll do it. I'll come back to it and...
Go on eBay. Have a little look.
Look for some more. Yeah, yeah.
So 1,202. How much do you vaguely know how much money you've spent on Daleks, or do you not want to say that on air?
Actually, it's not that I wouldn't. Don't want to tell you. It's just I couldn't because it's just that much. I couldn't, I mean, the collection would never be able to get replaced if, God forbid, if anything happened. You could never replace this collection because a lot of them are... collectors, one-off and so on.
So how do you insure that? Are they insured?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that just comes under my normal house insurance, which they know about, and they're happy with it all.
Okay.
So that's not a problem,
That was actually a genuinely serious question, wasn't it?
Yeah. I love the way you said they know about it. They know me.
Yeah.
They know me.
And do you know other Dalek collectors?
Yeah, I know a few. There's a couple or three that don't live that far from me, and luckily with having the internet and having Facebook, social media, you get to know a lot of people, and some people are nice to meet and some aren't, obviously. And I've made good friends with a couple that have got pretty big Doctor Who collections and Dalek collections as well, So it is really popular, The price of Daleks have shot up the last 2 years.
It's
getting harder and harder to get what you're looking for,
And how do you feel about, in the new series, there was flying Daleks?
Yeah, they've got to. It were brilliant,
To
be honest, when they came back in 2005, I was pretty nervous that they were going to change the shape the voice and everything that goes with the Dalek and how it was, but such a relief when they did do it, and it, they did it absolutely perfect, because they only altered the shape to a better shape, and the voice was a lot more crisper with Nicholas Briggs doing it.
He's
just done it absolute perfect, and he's been doing it ever since. I'm really happy, you know.
And also, you know, the little baubles on them didn't look so much like tennis balls and like they did in the old days.
That's right, yeah. They've actually sort of 3D'd them, aren't they, in effect, with having them on that little recess. So, yeah, I think they look great.
How's that Doctor Who education coming along there, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm soaking this up.
Mate, I'm going to give you two more questions to try and fill up your information meter.
Okay, so it's Doctor Who, but is it just Daleks? You don't, do you collect any other stuff? Or
no.
You're not interested in the Doctors?
My eldest son, he is a big collector of
I keep thinking of your wife. Your son's now collecting.
He's been collecting for a long time now. He hasn't collected as much lately because obviously he's grown up and he likes to go out and have a drink and, you know, so he doesn't collect as much, but he has got a big collection in the loft, in containers of all the different creatures from Doctor Who.
Whereas I just
stick with Daleks.
Fair enough.
What is it about Daleks, mate?
It's just the fear factor from when I was 7 year old.
And I think that's why I didn't watch it. Actually, maybe that's we went in separate directions.
Yeah. But I mean, back in the day when it was on telly, that was all that was on telly.
Yeah.
Or the fear factor for children, and that's what, you know, really gripped me from being 7 years old. And I suppose it's a bit of a joke, this, but I remember when I was 7 years old, stood in Doncaster Town Centre, asking and begging my mother to buy me this Dalek, you know, a 6-inch Dalek that was in the shop window, and she wouldn't buy it me because I've got four brothers and a sister, and you know we weren't well off. And I remember standing there with me fists closed tightly, muttering under my breath, saying, "When I get big, I'll get my own Dalek."
Nice,
you know.
Shut
and up. A lot of people say that I was, you know, a bit of fun. They were saying I'm mentally scarred by it, but it was a, you know, it was a turning point, I suppose, 25 years ago when I bought one, because it's just carried on.
And have you got a favourite? Can you possibly choose a favourite?
It's difficult now because I've only just got one that I've been looking for years, and thankfully I've managed to get it, and that's a very limited 12-inch remote control movie Dalek, and it's all gold. It's not, obviously it's not real gold, but it's very limited. And I've just managed to get that one now.
That sounds like Pimp My Dalek.
Which is worth quite a lot of money. I won't tell you what I spent.
No, don't, mate. But that sounds incredible. Well, thank you very much, Rob. I think Andrew now knows enough about Daleks, you're going to venture out there.
I don't feel like I know.
Start watching it.
Yeah. Well, or if that sounds like it. It was all nice all through that interview, and at the end he's got, "I've lost patience with this bloke." Yeah. Watch it.
Better watch it.
Just watch the programme. I'll watch it for you, Rob.
Rob, may you continue breaking Dalek records, mate. Thank you so much
for
your time chatting to us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a good one, buddy. Peace out. Wow. Daleks, mate. And this is news just coming. Probably not for people who know, but Peter Capaldi, who is the 12th Doctor, he's going to battle the Daleks in the next series. And you know the whole thing about Peter Capaldi. He's from In the Thick of It. He's the really full-on, sweary Scottish guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be brilliant, him taking on Daleks.
Yeah.
He's a fucking piece of shit, Dalek. Fucking useless piece of... I'll fucking rip your balls out and shove them down your one single Dalek fucking eye! Or something like that.
See you, Dalek. See you.
See you.
Yeah, see you,
Dalek. I can't do a Scottish accent good enough. Right there, pal. When I say pal, I don't really mean it.
You picked up on the essence of it.
Yeah, the essence.
With that fake pal that they chuck in.
Pal.
The C-U.
See, I can kind of do Geordie. Why, man? That would be a good doctor, wouldn't it? Why, man? Actually, I was thinking for the new... I'm going to try and see how this goes. A new theme tune for Doctor Who. D-O-C-T-O-R-Who. D-O-C-T-O-R-Who.
Good times. I think I'm enjoying this a whole lot more than most people.
Let's hit another track, y'all. Remember, we are on Twitter. We are on at FUBAR Radio. Email christmas@fubarradio.com. Let us know what you're thinking. Not what you're always thinking. Get in touch. I'm just saying, get in touch. It's getting a bit lonely in the studio, isn't it, Andrew and Natalie? It's getting a bit lonely.
It'd be nice to hear from civilization.
It would be, because Natalie's a bit clammy, Andrew's moist, and
you're stodgy.
I'm stodgy, and here we are with the next track. Kendrick Lamar there. I like that. I like that a lot. I'm going to play one of these things.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
We've just had a text in. We are descended from the Khaleds. We are superior. We will destroy, exterminate. Love the show, Davros.
Oh, Davros, lovely.
Yeah, he's the leader of the Daleks. I guess I should have read that out in a Dalek voice. We are descended. I can't do it. What's just that? Throwing it out there, guys. I cannot do it. Can't do a Dalek voice.
Do you reckon some of his Daleks, though, are like, you know, like when you've got kids and there's kids' toys in the house every now and again? Have you had that? Well, I've been in bed and in the middle of the night. Well, not even that. There's a bathroom one. And it's like a frog and it just goes, hello. Every now and again, four in the morning, you just hear hello.
Oh, mate.
But imagine in your house and one of the Daleks just being knocked over or something, just going,
yeah. I tell you what, me and my wife had a really freaky experience. Where's this story going? Yeah. Where is it going? Moist. years ago, we weren't married, we were living together though. Oh, the sin of it. It was way back when Spider-Man first came out. You know, you're one with your guy from Cider House Rules.
Toby.
Yeah. I can't believe I forgot Toby Maguire's name, but I remembered Cider House Rules. It's a fucking film with him and Nick and
Charlize, they're on.
Was she in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and same with your I said to blow the bloody doors off. Michael Caine was in it as well. Fucking Cider House Rules. Anyway, this anecdote has been well and truly sidetracked. So, Burger King, we're doing how they do the tie-in with the movie.
Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah, you get the kids' meal, and you got a Spider-Man watch, which was wicked, right? And you pushed a button on it, and it said Spider-Man sayings. Baby, I'm Spider-Man. And with great power comes great responsibility. It was awesome. So I got that. And I don't know, it must have been a year later. I'd forgotten about it. It was in a box under the bed. And in the middle of the night, sound asleep. And we just hear, I'm in the night and then down. I'm in the night and then down. I'm in the night and then down. Like a voice shouting. And we both sit bolt upright, pitch dark, panic, lights on, can't find where this voice is coming from. And the panic has set in. And we just go, ah! And then calm down. And it's like, all right, it's coming from under the bed. Something. Anyway, pull the box out, find the Spider-Man watch, and somehow an alarm function went off on it. And what he was saying was, I wear the tights in this town. I wear the tights in this town. Freaked us out, right? And then a good mate of mine, Al Pitcher, who you know, his nephew was over from New Zealand, big fan of Star Wars, so I gave him the watch, right? And then I got a message from Al about 2 weeks later saying that in the middle of the night everyone in the they're all staying in the same hotel room. Not Al, but the whole family, and that I'm with the Tyson this town just went off in the middle of the night and they all freaked out. So it's like a Chucky doll. It's cursed. So it's an anecdote, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know if it was worth saying, but it's nicely led us into our next round, which is called Pop Quiz Hot Shot.
It's about films, isn't it?
It's about films, yeah. So appropriate that I had a long-winded anecdote attached to a film. You'll find that about me, guys. Anyone out there listening, guys and gals, ladies and ladettes and forks and spoons. Sometimes I'll tell an anecdote. And Andrew's such a nice guy, he just lets me go. At no point, you know, what he should have said at the end of that story was, geez, I hope you got the Hollywood rights for that one. You know, something like that, you know, like, oh, and then what happened next?
I had a mate at school that used to do that. He'd, at the end of anyone's anecdote, he'd go, yeah, good story, mate. That was it. It was brutal. Crushing.
My brother used to always get me. I'd tell an anecdote, and at the end, he'd go, and then what happened? No, that's it. Well, surely something else happened. What happened next? So, the next round is called Pop Quiz Hot Shot, okay, where I'm going to read out a minor character synopsis from characters and films. Yeah. Synopsis of their character. You have to guess what film?
Yeah.
And bonus point if you can guess the character's name.
Right.
Okay. You're not playing alone, mate. We've got a caller, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've got a caller on the line.
Hello?
Hello, you there?
Hello,
mate. Dan. What's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel. D-Dog? Do you get called D-Dog? Danster? Danster Rooney? Dano?
No, not by anyone, actually.
Not by anyone. Do you have a nickname?
Just Dan.
Just
usually.
Dan, usually. I'm going to give you full syllables, bro. Daniel.
Daniel, cheers.
Daniel. Did you ever watch that film from the 90s, Daniel?
No.
Do you know of it? It's pretty
good. What's
it about? It's an android kid. It's an android kid who just wants to be real. It's kind of like Pinocchio. It's pretty good. He gets fly a fighter plane, though. So, here we go. Pop quiz hotshot. So, I'm going to read the synopsis of a minor character in a film. You have to guess the film. You up for this, Daniel?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, you're playing against Andrew Bird, who's not too hot on films. So, I fancy your chances, mate. Here's the first one.
Cheers.
A crop duster pilot and father claims that he has been kidnapped by aliens but escaped. He is ridiculed in his own town until aliens do invade, and he becomes a hero by sacrificing himself to blow up an alien mothership just before it launches a devastating laser beam attack. What's the film?
Can we ask questions?
Yeah, go on. Why not? Let's change the game.
Is it a recent film?
No. 90s.
No.
From the 90s.
90s.
This character flew side by side. He was the wingman of the President of the United States. That helps.
I remember it.
It's tough, isn't it?
Can I buzz in?
Yeah, of course you can.
Got Will Smith buzz in it.
Oh, yeah, it does. Buzz in when you know it.
Oh.
Independence Day.
Whoa, you're too slow, Andrew. Well done, Daniel.
I was letting him go first. And then, I'm going to buzz in from now on.
You got to buzz in. I should have made that clear.
Yeah.
So you've got that point, Daniel. Well done.
So is Jeff Goldblum's dad? Is that who you're talking about?
No, Jeff Goldblum's dad is the Jewish guy who says the line, everyone's driving out of Washington and we're the crazy ones driving in.
Oh, yeah. It was the
I feel like a schlemiel.
The ones that's in the caravan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. Okay, Daniel, you still with us? Here we go.
An
elderly lady, already a survivor of a life and death battle where she was the only victor, is again thrust into a government-sanctioned game of death. She chooses to die in a deadly gas cloud than be a burden on her friend.
Got nothing.
This is a recent one.
No, I've got nothing.
You got nothing?
No.
Should I give you some clues?
Yeah.
Oh,
is it Holocaust related?
Is it Holocaust related? Whoa, Jesus.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Trying to keep it light, Daniel.
Keep it light, Daniel.
you never got that on fan before.
Yeah,
did you?
You're right. The film is The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. No, it's not there. I'll give you a clue. There's something about the main character is very good with a bow and arrow.
Oh, Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, boom. Ugh. Andrew, you're out of order. That was Mags from District 4 in the second installment of the Hunger Games called Catching Fire. Have you seen it, Daniel?
Only just recently, 2 weeks ago, so I should have probably got that one.
Yeah, you should have, because that was Mags, mate.
Old classics film, but no, they're obviously...
No, I'm going all over the place with this, mate. All over the place. Here we go.
Okay.
Next one. So it's 2-0, Andrew. I'm only going to do 3, okay? So here's the next one.
I don't feel
one.
Andrew's trying.
He is trying.
The first one, I did not... I was waiting for my turn.
Andrew, I don't want excuses. I want results.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Here's your final one, guys. A hippie surfer dude who knows how to fight. An adrenaline junkie blessed with charisma and a good body. He beat up a member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Always. Yeah.
Right, Point Break.
Yes.
Who's the character?
Who's the actor who played the character?
He beat up a member.
So I'll give the rest of the thing because... never had a job but got money by dressing up as a president. Ultimately betrayed by a good friend who catches up with him when he rides the big wave in Australia. You got Point Breakers right.
Who's the minor character?
Well, I guess he kind of isn't a minor character. He's a fairly main character in this film. It's Patrick Swayze.
We're guessing the actor.
Bodie. It's Patrick Swayze. Bodie. He plays Bodie. You're right. He wasn't a minor character. That was my fault.
He's on the DVD cover.
Yeah. I just really enjoyed that film.
Fair enough. Me too.
Underrated. They're doing a remake, which is a BS. It's going to be as bad as the remake of Footloose. Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
So here we go, Daniel. Excuse me.
Yeah.
That was my fault. I'm going to give you one final one, and this is genuinely a minor character. A Vietnam vet who survived being a POW. His buddy gave him a watch to keep safe in a dark place after he had kept it safe in his own secret dark place. His buddy then died. 7 years he held on to this watch and finally gave his buddy's son the watch, his inheritance.
Is this Forrest Gump?
No.
I thought Forrest Gump as well.
No. I'll read it again.
A friend called Buddy, right?
A Vietnam vet who survived being a POW. His buddy gave him a watch to keep safe in a dark place after his buddy had kept it safe in his own secret dark place. His buddy died. 7 years, this Vietnam vet held on to this watch and finally gave it to his buddy's son, the watch, the son's inheritance.
Is it a recent film?
No, 90s.
Oh. 90s again. It's going to be an obvious film again, isn't it? Yeah. Don't really watch war films, though, you see.
It's not a war film. It's not a war film.
Not a war film.
Not a war film. Not a war film. But the watch is given to a main... The watch is given to a main character.
Okay.
Right.
I'm going to have to put you out of your misery. It's Pulp Fiction, yeah. Captain Koons, played by Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah.
7 years.
I've never seen...
7 years. I wish I could do a Christopher Walken impression. How does he speak? Christopher Walken. Oh, my God, that was... what's his name from earlier? Stephen Hawking. Well, Daniel, you still won, mate. You still won. Do you know what that means?
Oh, good.
Do you know what it means?
What does that mean?
To be a winner?
No, I don't.
It means fucking nothing. But, you've got,
I can leave with pride.
Yeah, you've got pride, you've got the respect from the studio, you've got the respect from FUBAR Radio, and maybe in a couple of weeks if we have mugs or something that we're giving away, ring up and tell us that you deserve one and we'll give it to you. All right?
I think
about
it, yeah.
Cool.
Cheers. Well played.
Thanks, Daniel.
Well played.
Cheers, buddy.
No problem.
Peace out, y'all.
See ya.
Say hi to your mum. Is that too much? Is that too much? Okay, well, that went well. You were rubbish at that, Andrew.
I was pretty bad.
We're going to be doing that every week, mate, so you better start brushing up.
I better bone up.
Boner up. Oh, I'm moist.
Who are they going to get?
Radio. Stodgy between the thighs.
who are they going to get?
Who are they going to get in the remake in Point Break? Who are they going to get instead of a chili pepper?
I can't remember.
Who's someone going to punch instead of a chili pepper?
Coldplay? Deservedly.
What, Chris Martin, a surf dude?
Actually, I said deservedly. I quite like Coldplay, and I don't care what anyone else says. I don't love them, but they've got a couple of tracks that I'm into.
Oh, yeah, he's a good guitarist, the whole thing, isn't he?
He's good on the old cat gut. let's come into another track of... I'm really happy that we're playing this song. It's going to make me feel really emotional, really patriotic. The Finn Brothers, Won't Give In. Great song. Chosen by you, Andrew.
Yeah, well, I think you'll worry too much that you should not have Finn Brothers and Crowded House being a Kiwi. It might seem a bit hack.
Right.
But so I'll do it for you, mate, because
Thanks, buddy. Possibly
love them as much or if not more than your average New Zealander. I said it.
I think it's true as well. I mean, I grew up with Crowded House, do you know what I mean, a lot. And... I love it. I do love it, but it's one of those things that
it's constant, I imagine.
You know what? It's like Friends, the TV show Friends. I would never go out and buy the box set of Friends, even though I really enjoy Friends. I just enjoy it whenever it comes on.
Mate,
and that's how I've been with Crowded House.
Mate, you've just nailed a wonderful reference there.
Thank you.
Lovely, lovely analogy.
Do you know one of the best journeys I ever had was on the National Express, London to Cardiff. I was heading off to do the Fantastic Comedy Club at the Cardiff Glee. I didn't have much money. This was years ago. Still don't have much money, actually, so I don't know why.
But refused to stoop to those levels now.
But I went on the National Express, and they'd just put TVs on the backs of the seats on this National Express. And it took us 4 hours to get there, and I watched 4 hours straight of Friends. Best journey ever. Nice. Not ever, but it was a good one. It was a good journey.
Yeah, when you haven't watched Friends for ages and one comes on, oh, they're good. They're good. Yeah. You forget how good they are. It's because they were overplayed. It's like The Simpsons. I love The Simpsons, but I wouldn't, like, put it on purposely because it was just on so much.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I never understood people going out getting box sets of Friends or box sets of Simpsons. It's like it's always on, like Family Guy. It's always on, which is great. And if you've just tuned in thinking, what the hell is this about? You're listening to Jared Christmas and Andrew Bird. This is FUBAR Radio.
We'll talk about what we like.
Yeah, that's right. And if we want to swear, we gosh darn will.
Bugger it.
Bugger it. That's a good one. Bugger it. That's a good swear word. Underused bugger.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, you bugger. It's underused, isn't it? It's a good one, though. It's satisfying.
Oh, is that swearing?
Bugger.
You could call a child a bugger.
No.
No, you little bugger?
No. I just realised, yeah, maybe, if they understand. I heard a horrendous child on the tube, Hammersmith and City line yesterday, the Hammo and City.
Not a great line. Not
a great line. No. Very unreliable. Yeah. Very unreliable. And Pink line, very misleading. I thought it was going to be like gay pride on that thing all the time. Yeah. Very misleading. Anyway, I was on the Hammo and City.
Yeah.
Heading to Lado Brooko. And at a stop, this mum said, okay, we're getting off the tube now. Say goodbye to everyone. She didn't have a voice like that. She was like, all right, we're getting off the tube now. Say goodbye to everyone. And next thing, this kid just starts saying, kiss my ass, everyone. Kiss my ass. I'm going to shit on you. I'm going to shit on you. And the mum was just laughing and laughing and so encouraging him more. And he was coming up with quite inventive things about what he wanted to do to all of us on the tube. At one point, he said, I'm going to shit my hand, rub it on your leg. And he's like, well, you could probably skip the hand and just shit on my leg. Yeah. That would be bad. And then you've got clean hands still. But he was young. So he was literally, honestly, he must kind of been older than five.
You were more concerned of the logistics.
Well, I was more concerned of his hygiene.
He was five.
I swear to God, five, full shell suit and really fat. Oh,
I thought this was going to be a lovely story.
Not a lovely story.
I thought it was going to be say goodbye to everyone and little kid on the tube. Bye.
No. I mean, that would be if it was on a train, London Waterloo to Surbiton. Mm. Oh, darling, we're getting off at Teddington. Say goodbye to everyone. Farewell, fellow passengers. Fare thee well.
Godspeed. I was once in because my wife, as you know, is Slovakian.
She is.
Thereby proxy Catholic.
Yeah.
And so
hardcore.
Church on a Sunday. And this kid, at the end of church, as we walk out, this kid turned around, turned back to the church, went, by God, and walked out. Lovely. Nice. Lovely.
Mum, when can I high-five God?
This is awkward.
I say fair play. If you're religious, fair play. Believe what you want to believe, I reckon. You know, because I'm still into Dungeons & Dragons. I love using my imagination.
Another fair analogy.
Fair analogy. Furry muff. Oh, homo, you don't. Maybe another gay. Lesbi be friends. Did you do those ones at school?
Yeah.
The whole conversation would go, Lesbi be friends. Oh, homo, you don't. Maybe another gay. Furry muff.
Always end on furry muff.
Always end on furry
Great
muff.
Great punctuation.
Yeah. Well, you know, start on it. Depends what you're into. Let's read a text, or it's a message, actually. It's from Lucy Liu. Good name. Brighton University. Fantastic show. Got you docked in my eye dock. That feels good. And rocking my uni halls common room. It is halls. I read it as balls initially. And rocking my uni balls. Does that just mean one ball? A uni ball. That's got to be your two testes have joined together into a massive unified ball.
Unification of bollock.
Yeah. But she's hashtagged here, full throttle Christmas. Yeah.
That's you.
I haven't got gear one.
No.
You know, I just go straight in.
You rev straight up. Yeah.
Or maybe come in at three, and then I push up to five, and then I come back down to three. But, you know, fuck red lights, man. I'm pushing straight through. And this is, I like this one, hashtag lovely, soothing-toned Andrew.
Wow, that's a nice way of saying dull.
No, it's not. Your tone is so soothing.
Nasal, isn't it? Because of the bent nose.
The broken nose.
Yeah. It's not actually, well...
That's what happens when you go around head-butting fists in Nottingham. Northampton.
Just a bent nose. Just got a bent nose. I had someone come up to me once and say, so you used to box, did you? And I said, I've never boxed.
Yeah, but you have got a face for boxing.
Yeah, but that's that. At least if you've been beaten up boxing, that's understandable. If your face looks like you've been boxing and you haven't, you see why I'm upset.
Well, you might be upset, but your tone is so smooth.
That's fair enough.
So soothing. I want you to come to bed with me. Just to help me go off to sleep. Just tell me stories.
You want me to come to bed and get you off?
No.
Oh.
So I'll just... You could spoon me. It's, say we're spooning.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm having trouble sleeping, but I don't want to take any chemicals.
Where am I, front or back?
You can be big spoon. Right? So...
I know for a fact.
Neither of us are moist or clammy or stodgy.
No.
All right? It's pure, good, neutral.
Good, clean spooning.
Good, clean spooning for some smooth tones into the ear hole.
Mm-hmm.
All right? What would you say to help soothe me off to sleep? Come on. What would you say? What would you say, Andrew? Soothe me off to sleep. What would you say, Andrew?
FUBAR Radio.
I'm awake now.
Sorry,
and, man. I've got an erection, so we should go into the next track. Get up, stand up, Public Enemy featuring Brother Ali. Get some of this in your face. Get up, stand up, Public Enemy featuring Brother Ali. That's a great track.
Yeah.
And we do play the full gambit on this show, don't we, Andrew?
Well, I won't be pigeonholed, will you?
No siree. I don't like pigeons, and I don't like holes. All right?
Yeah.
So don't try and do that thing
don't
with
combine
me.
Combine them.
You can't label us.
No.
No labels on you, Andrew.
No.
No flies on you.
There's neither. Flies, labels, pigeons or holes. I'm not having any of it.
No. You've got nothing to be clammy about.
No. So what we were saying is we'll play lots of different music.
Yeah, because we just literally then, I think we went from the Finn Brothers to Public Enemy.
Well, yeah, we went for a lovely melodic... poppy guitar.
Mm-hmm.
To
keep talking. Smooth tones.
Soothing it. Yeah. Imagine we're mid-spoon. I mean, Public Enemy, not what I would listen to. Enjoyed that. I was driving an imaginary Cadillac all the way through.
With your arm out the window.
In my mind.
Yeah. We're all driving Cadillacs in our dreams. That's Lord. That's the lyric from her. We played it all earlier. Royals. I haven't got a filter. Something pops into my brain and I just go, I'm going to say it. I don't even think I'm going to say it. I just end up saying it. And a lot of time partway through, I think, you shouldn't have said that. I'm going to give you an example right now, okay? Earlier last week, it was Tuesday last week, I volunteered to help out at my four-year-old daughter's school to, you know, be a parent helper on their trip to the local library. And it's great that we've even still got a local library, what with the Conservatives going, hey, no one's using libraries. What should we do? Shut them down. Whereas what Scandinavia done? They've got no one's using libraries. Let's make them interactive and fun and invest money in it. Anyway, this isn't a political...
political
a little bit, a little bit. It just that just annoys me because libraries are awesome. So this trip to the library. So anyway, I show up at the school, 9:15. I get put in the staff room with five mums who have also volunteered. Now, I haven't met these mums. I've seen them on the old drop-off and pick-up.
Hmm.
Seen them, but I haven't had any interaction. You know, we recognise each other, so it's a little wave and a hello. But I don't know them, they don't know me. 9:15 in the morning, and this is a cautionary tale of being a stand-up comedian. Because when you're a stand-up, often saying the wrong thing is the right thing when it comes to comedy, because it's the funny thing, right? On a stand-up stage, that's great, but it very rarely works in a social setting. But sometimes you just can't turn that stand-up brain off. So it's 9:15 in the morning. One of the mums has baked some chocolate brownies.
Mm-hmm.
She's a good egg. Except she put a bit of orange in there. Way to ruin a good chocolate brownie. Just why, like why the... Cherry's chocolate orange is easily one of the worst inventions in the world. I know I'm going out on a limb because England bloody loves it. The best thing you can do with a Terry's chocolate orange is unwrap it and then sit on it and hope a segment goes up your anus and gives you a little bit of pleasure. Because you're not going to get that pleasure from eating the damn thing.
Let a dog lick it out.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Do something. Go extreme like that because you're not going to get any fun eating
it.
It's disgusting.
Why ruin chocolate with fruit?
Well, orange ruins the flavour of everything. Apart from orange juice. Then it genuinely improves the flavour.
It's a massive contributor there.
She's made these chocolate brownies. And everyone's tucking in. And so I was like, I'll get involved. Of course I will. I'm meant to be on a diet, but I'll get involved. Mm-hmm. And so I said, as an opening gambit to break the ice, I said, oh, I like the ones from the side. You know, they've got the crunchy edge. And the mum who baked them said, be careful with some of those because I wasn't able to get all the greaseproof paper off. And so I said, that doesn't bother me. The greaseproof paper just means later on when I have a shit, it won't stick to the side of the bowl. 9:15 in the morning, 5 mums who had never met me, and I then had to sit for another 15 minutes in that staff room with 5 women actively ignoring me. And the last time that happened was when I accidentally walked in on an orgy. Oh, I've never walked in on an orgy. But, yeah, that truly, that happened.
You were out of context.
Yeah,
that's
big
what
time.
You were.
Big
you
time.
You wanted to pop that at night time, surrounded by paying public.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think this acceptable? Went swimming, changing the kids. There's a men's bit. There's a woman's bit. There's a mum and dad take both kids. They just get changed together. So there's a woman there.
Woman in the men's?
Yeah, but she's not there for all the whole. She doesn't get naked.
Spy.
For all of it, but,
yeah, but
she's
still seeing
she hangs
dick.
About, and you've got to sort, yeah. And her husband, I think they're one of them weird, comfortable people,
right?
Just be there, just
he's like, a locker room guy,
yeah. He's a ball swinger,
wow,
is what he is with kids there, just kids, just there, balls
random
out,
random strangers' kids,
balls out. Wow. That's a skill I've learned from being a skinny child is being how to change without people seeing any of your body,
yeah.
And
when you say skinny child.
I was, yeah, but I looked like a white Ethiopian when I was a kid.
Right, fair enough.
I was proper skinny.
That was a good 1990s starvation reference there.
Yeah, there was a pit. They used me on an appeal video. That's what I looked like. But, just balls out.
I've never been a locker room guy.
No, me neither. But even that's unnerving. But when your kid's there and there's a man swinging about.
I know.
Like, come on, mate, have some consideration.
And yeah, and his wife's still in there as well. That's weird.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because... yeah, she should have got naked as well. If she's in a room with naked men, yeah, to balance it out.
Yeah.
Or I think it would have raised a bit of attention, though.
Yeah.
So we are going to move on to workplace confessional. I don't have an ident for this.
Create one.
I'm just working really hard. I'm going to do something dodgy.
Confess.
Yeah, that's good. Workplace.
Confess.
Yeah, that's so Catholic. So this is what we want people to do is send us an email, okay? Send us an email, christmas@fubarradio.com, of your workplace confessionals, dodgy things you've done at work and got away with, or even not got away with it, but keep everything anonymous, all right? That's the great thing about it. Keep it all anonymous. And also, I think maybe at the end of that email, put a song you'd like played, and we'll read out your confession. If we read out your confession, we'll play that song.
Feel free to write your confession in the style of a Catholic confession. Bless me,
Father, for I have shoved a can of beans up my bum and then put it on the shop shelf.
That would be impressive.
Yeah,
to be fair.
Genuinely
you would
impressive.
Tell people that you did it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't need to confess to that. I just owned up to it.
That's bragging.
Yeah. So we're going to do workplace confessional. So today, Andrew's going to confess to a couple of things. It's this kind of thing. So a mate of mine, years and years ago in New Zealand, he got laid off from a supermarket. He was the fish counter manager, and the supermarket decided to integrate the fish counter into like the deli counter or something like that. So they didn't need 2 managers, so they laid him off. So what he did on his last day was he took a full-sized blue cod, which is an expensive fish anyway, and he put it in an air conditioning unit. And about 5 days later, they had to shut the whole supermarket down because they couldn't figure out where the stench was coming from. And it was a health and safety issue. But he got away with that.
You yeah, they didn't know. They'd have put two and two together.
Mate, that was, that was easily 15
Laid
years
off
ago.
A fish, man. With a smell of fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we know the guy.
I don't think Columbo was working that day.
No, he must have.
Yeah. So it's that type of confession. So what have you got, Andrew? What are you going to confess to us today?
Well, this wasn't me, but I was present.
You've got to start it with, bless me, FUBAR Radio, for I have sinned.
Bless me, FUBAR Radio, for I have sinned.
What did you do, my son?
I that was unnerving. Now, what happened was, it wasn't me. I really want to reiterate that. But I was present and did nothing about it and watched. And, I'll say it. I laughed.
Right.
Now, he was a nice man as well. I need to reiterate that.
Keep talking.
He was... I worked in a pub in South London that was also a music venue, very well-known music venue. The music manager of the pub was a vegetarian.
Right.
He used... Now, the whole thing about Gordon Ramsay, I don't understand that people say he's an angry chef swearing and all that. All chefs are like that. Yeah. He's quite a standard chef. The chef that I worked with used the C word like an abbreviation.
Cancer.
Yeah, he made stuff awkward a lot.
Okay.
But he so the bloke, the music manager, used to come in and he was vegetarian and he'd ask for stuff off the menu, and chefs do not like it when you start doing their menu for them.
Yeah, when you go off piste.
He used to bring in his own vegetarian stuff and ask him to cook it. I know. He did not like that. He used to bring his own vegetarian sausages and ask him to cook them. And he lost it one day, the chef. Mark, his name was. He lives in Australia now.
He's safe.
Yeah, what he did was got a vegetarian sausage, just moved it about in the old bacon fat for a bit, didn't he?
Nice.
Cooked that. And then in another meal, he used real gravy and told him it's vegetarian gravy.
Nice.
Yeah, he got away with that.
Got away with that.
Like I said, I wasn't involved. I stood and laughed. I think I may have pointed and laughed. Because not all chefs were angry. The other chef was...
Hold on. Don't I have to, for that confession, don't I have to now say,
thank you for confessing. Three Bloody Marys and... a thimble full of Jägermeister.
That's what we're doing instead of Hail Mary's Bloody Mary's. Nice.
Yeah, we're advocating drinking, which we're not. We're not.
You can have a virgin Bloody Mary.
Yeah, have a virgin Bloody Mary. Yeah. Oh, I don't care. You've confessed and it was great. Well done. You're going to go to wherever you go once you die.
Yeah, horseradish and your virgin Bloody Mary people. That's the key.
Yeah, is that a good one?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Next one. Make it quick though, Andrew.
Yeah, all right. It was the lad who worked in the pub as well. It's pub-related, these ones. I worked in a pub for quite a while. It wasn't me. It was him. He got drunk, rang at work, said he's not coming in because he's ill, and the pub was also a nightclub. He rang in sick for work, turned up later, pissed, and tried to get into the nightclub for free.
What a legend!
He asked to be let in the nightclub of a pub he'd rang in sick.
Bloody legend.
Out his head.
What country was he from?
He was English.
Of course he was.
He was from Wimbledon.
Good man. We're going to hit a track now. That was Workplace Confessional. So email us your workplace confessions. We'll read them out next week. That's christmas@fubarradio.com. I only heard this song for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and I love it. So check it out. Jonah's Policewoman, the classic. That was great. Let's read in some text. You still with me here, Andrew?
Yeah, I love that bass voice on that last bit. Lovely.
I'd love to have a voice that deep.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel had his deep voice when he was a teenager, and supposedly he'd ring up his mates' houses to speak to them, but the mums would just keep him on the line for a long time, and then he said they always sounded a bit weird when they went, "Oh, I'm going to get him." Okay, so here's a message from Simon from Kent. Would you call me? Public Enemy, boom. Chuck D is a god amongst men. Flavor Flav. Shug from Glasgow. My first hip-hop gig was Public Enemy at the Glasgow Barrowlands. 27 years, still fighting the power. Stevie from Brixton. The chocolate orange is amazing. Melt it down and cover my sexy body in it. Then you will see orange, chocolate, and lady can be the ultimate sensory experience. Also, what about duck and orange? You're right, Stevie. Duck and orange is actually nice. Sorry, I got on one about that whole orange, adding orange thing, because, you know, orange is great in a smoothie. It's a great base fruit for a smoothie.
Not with chocolate, though.
Yeah, no, I know. Bless me, FUBAR Radio, for I have sinned. After a massive binge, I went into work at a fish processing factory. I was fired after they found me covered in fish guts, drinking a bottle of whiskey half naked. You are not forgiven. Not for that. Why cover yourself in fish guts? Oh,
it's an act of defiance.
I know. Imagine trying to get fish guts out of your pubes.
Yeah. And he was sectioned very quickly.
Very quickly. Bless me, FUBAR Radio, for I have sinned. I accidentally headbutted a major investor at a conference. Just before he gave a keynote speech, he gave the speech covered in blood with a very nasal voice.
That's good that Alan Partridge is texting.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's not blood. I was just having a tomato soup.
You are definitely forgiven.
You are a hero.
Absolute hero. Forgive me, FUBAR Radio, for I have sinned. I used to work at McDonald's, and I used to make a habit of always cooking one extra chicken nugget in each batch. At McDonald's, we tend to cook nuggets in 40s. However, I would always cook 41. This means in my 8-hour shift, I averaged around 25 nuggets, which now I've written it down sounds like a hell of a lot of nuggets. Thanks, guys. That's Luke from Birmingham. Luke, you are forgiven. I used to work at McDonald's when I was 16 in Christchurch, New Zealand. The little marshmallows they use in the hot chocolates, we used to go out the back and put them up our nostrils and see who could snort them the furthest. We never then served them to customers, but there was a huge temptation a lot to do that. But you're totally forgiven for sneaking in some extra nuggets,
sorry,
man.
I
used to make my own burgers there, design my own burgers. The best one I ever did was a quarter pounder and a McChicken burger with cheese and mayo and chips in there as well.
Boom. Chips in the burger?
Chips in the burger.
Wow, did you have a name for it?
The Awesome Burger, I think I called it. I think I called it the Awesome Burger. A few other people, they agreed. Forgive me, FUBAR Radio, for I have sinned. I accidentally poisoned a coachload of French students when I used a tomato sauce that should have been thrown out. 34 puking young frogs. Wow!
Wow. Some malpractice and a bit of casual racism.
Yeah, that is... No, I'm going to forgive you because that's hilarious.
That's pretty good.
But that's so good. That's what happened to the All Blacks in the 1995 World Cup. Okay, so...
What are you saying about Mandela? You can't go slagging off Mandela now.
No, look, I'm not slagging off Mandela at all. What the guy did was great.
Okay? But you reckon...
But that film, what was it called? The rugby film?
Invictus,
all right, which was about the 1995 World Cup, about South Africa and the All Blacks final, all right? And South Africa won, and it unified the nation. That game unified the nation, supposedly. All right, supposedly.
Yeah.
They were on their way to getting unified because of the brilliance of Mandela. It wasn't that rugby game. And, you know, the All Blacks, they were food poisoned, man. Jeff Wilson, one of the best wingers in the world at that point.
Oh, he was good.
He gets a breakaway down the sideline. No one's near him. And then he collapses and throws up on the sideline. What does that tell you? Yeah?
Tells me they didn't show the bit in the film where Mandela goes into the kitchen and goes, I will...
Do the voice. That's not going to be awkward. Look at this tomato sauce. It should have been chucked out years ago. So, yeah. Anyway, you're forgiven. The only one who's not forgiven is the fucking fish guts guy. So, we've moved on. We're moving on now to Bullshit Detector. Now, this is a regular event for us, the Bullshit Detector. Either myself or Andrew or any other guest we have in the studio will tell two versions of an anecdote.
Mm-hmm.
And the other people in the studio have to guess which is the correct version of the anecdote. We have to detect the bullshit. So, Andrew, you've got an anecdote that you've bullshitted up.
Here we go. First version, we are on the way back from a stag do. I think it was my last stag do. Don't like a stag do. On the way back from Newcastle, down the M1 in the minibus. Minibus stuck in traffic. Sat in the minibus. My mate Jim Pritchett looks out the window, notices a pink car... And it's got, like, phone numbers and a business thing on it. It's a beautician's. Got a phone number on it. Notices the girl in the car goes, she's all right. Rings the number. starts talking to her. She answers in the car, sat in traffic. And I believe his first words were, "All right, you dirty bitch, what you wearing?" And she got talking, because he's weirdly charming, got chatting, got out the minibus, got into her car. Traffic started moving. He couldn't get out. Stuck in the car, got chatting with her, ended up going all the way back to Thrisk with her. He said he slept with her, then he admitted he didn't, and then said he then kept in touch with her, started dating, I think the youngsters say.
Right.
Happy to report they're expecting their second child.
Wow. Okay.
Right, second version. We're sat in the minibus, glance out the window, see a girl in the car, go, "She's all right. There's a number. Be good to ring it, wouldn't it?" Yeah. That was it. So, which one's true?
That first one's great. That first one is so good, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like it could happen.
Yeah. But it could happen. The second one happens more often.
Yeah, that's true. That's more likely.
Because I've done that plenty of times. I've even entered the number into my phone and then chickened out from doing it. God, you've got us a doozy there, Andrew.
Thanks, mate.
But because I believe in love and I believe in romance, apart from Valentine's Day when it's commercialised, I'm going to say that I believe the first one. The second one's bullshit.
I agree. I think the first one's right.
Oh, sad, but it's the first one is bullshit.
No! Yeah. You should write for Mills and Boone.
Do you know what? As soon as I said the word Thrisk, I thought they were going to buy this.
No,
who makes up the place name Thrisk? I just thought that's on the M1.
Wow.
That'll get them.
Wow, you have done well on that. You
yeah, we
done
all
well.
Sat there and went, "She's all right, we should ring her."
Have some tears.
Oh, you've done really well there, mate.
I think that's the fantasy we all have.
You've done really well there, mate. John Allen, Dead Man's Suit. Now, John Allen, he's a mate of yours, is he, Andrew?
He is. I don't know if you're allowed to do that on
yes,
the radio.
Yes, of course you can.
I thought, you know,
it's the best place to do it. If you want to get your mate's music out there, then this is the best opportunity.
Well, right? I just thought I wouldn't tell you and play it.
No. Yeah. It was a great track.
Well, I worked that pub that I was talking about where I worked. He used to play in the corner. Like, you know when someone's just playing in the corner and on Tuesday
no
night,
one's listening.
No one's listening. That was him.
Oh, wow.
And we used to feed him Guinness to keep him going because he looked demoralised playing Lady in Red for the 40th time. And then we'd beyond the bar, we all loved him, and we'd shout, "Do one of your own! Do your own!" And we'd demand he did his own songs because they were like that.
I'm glad you did, because that's a great track. And I'd like
to release his third album.
Brilliant. Well, maybe, you know, we can play him quite often. I'm into that.
I think we will.
I'm into that. I've got a mate who's a musician as well.
Yeah? Oh, yeah? Who's that?
He's not very good. So we are up to the final game of the three-hour session we've just laid down. We've got someone new in the house. Everybody, big round of applause for Sam Hutt. Hiya, Sam.
Hi, Jared.
You have joined us
yes.
to be a contestant in Bash the Bishop. Now, this is a pretty intense game, Bashing the Bishop. It's wanking euphemisms. The challenge is that whoever is coming up with the euphemisms, they get given two letters from the alphabet, and they have to come up with a wanking euphemism in the format of Bashing the Bishop. For example, if I was... Give me a letter, Andrew.
D.
D. Sam.
A.
A. Dumping the acorn. Okay? You know... And if someone feels like challenging it, going, "That doesn't sound like a wanking euphemism," the challenge is to put it in a sentence, and that sentence is, "I'm off to the bathroom to..." What did I just say?
Dump the acorn.
Dump the acorn. I'm off to the bathroom to dump the acorn.
Sounds
and
like
everyone
you.
Will be
yeah,
like, sounds
like
a poo,
yeah.
doesn't it? Sounds like a poo. So I could be pulled up on that, and I'll be eliminated. Okay? So you get two random letters, and no tricky letters, like X or Z or O. O's a tough one.
Oh, is it?
How is it?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, it is a bit tough. I mean, you can try it.
No, that's not.
You can come out with oscillating. That's about it. So no tricky letters, and you have to list as many as possible without pausing for too long. And Natalie's going to be the judge of that.
Mm-hmm.
She in between euphemisms, she's going to silently, audibly count to five. And if you get to five, you're eliminated. And it's between Sam, Andrew, and myself. Whoever gets the most without pausing for too long is the winner. And then we want people listening, your favourite one that you've heard from anyone, your favourite wanking euphemism, tweet them in or text or email, and the one that gets the most votes will be put on a t-shirt, and that can become a prize for next week. Okay, so here we go. Andrew, you're first up. I'll give you your first letter, and that letter is B.
Your second letter is M.
Bob in the mushroom.
Yeah, I like that.
Bang in the marrow.
Oh!
Bashing the member.
Yep.
Banging the milestone.
I'll lead you away with it.
Mm-hmm. Go upstairs and bang the milestone. I am going to... Yeah, okay.
One, two, three. Brag the muff. Five.
Is that in? Is that
yep.
in?
No, that's not
He's
it.
Done.
But you got
You're
four.
Far.
That was
You're
a double act.
That was pretty good. Four. Oh. That is pretty well, good, mate.
That's a physical effort. It's
yeah.
a physical mm. effort. My, it really mental. Is.
So far, I like the marrow.
Thanks, mate.
I like the marrow.
Marrow was it. If I didn't use marrow, there would be some pretty angry text.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can right. you say the same banging or bobbing?
No.
Want?
No,
no,
you cannot.
What?
Oh. I know, it's really tough. It's got to be brand new words each time, Sam. Okay. Brand okay. new words each time. Here we go. First letter from Andrew.
I'm going to go D.
And P.
Oh, God. I'm really nervous. But, D.
And P.
And P. Dragging the pony.
Dragging the pony.
Lovely. Lovely. Wow. So we may have a winner. God, I'm really nervous. Bang! Humdinger.
I'm just going to use dumping again. Dumping the... Parrot.
Dumping the parrot?
Dumping the parrot.
Okay.
Yeah. He sees his penis as an animal, this lad.
I've seen his penis. It is an animal. One.
Oh, okay,
two,
no, I'm struggling.
Three.
Four.
Dissecting the poodle.
Dissecting the poodle. I'm off to the bathroom to dissect the poodle.
I like it. I like it.
Really? Okay.
It's got a medical feel to it.
I suppose you're letting some innards out in a way, aren't you?
Oh, is that dissecting. Megan Fox? I'm going upstairs to dissect the poodle.
Okay. Next one.
I'm losing it.
One, two, three, four. Five. You're out, Sam. You're out, Sam. And you got three. And what a three. What a three. Dragging the pony. That's going to stick with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to follow that. That's a lot of heat to follow. Okay. Give me a letter, Sam.
M.
M. Okay, Andrew.
R.
R. Okay, ready. Mashing the ram. Monkeying the rabbit. Mixing the roo-roo. mounting the rampart.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yep. Okay, cool.
Thank
you.
That's in.
That was fucking close, that one.
Two.
Masturbating my... Richard.
Yes.
Masturbating my Richard.
The formal one.
The formal one. It's just pretty much saying what it is.
Wanking in a suit, that is.
Yeah. making the rude juice.
That's my new favourite. Well, I'm going to go and make the rude juice.
Melting the raspberries. Milking the raspberries.
Oh,
yep,
nice.
Yep. Moisturizing the rocket. Moisturizing the rocket.
I've got it.
Seriously, I've got a really good one here. I've got a really good one here, guys. It's so good.
You
it's
can't
so
just
good.
Talk to buy yourself more time.
It's so good. If someone says five, I'm out. I'm out.
What? Yeah, that's done.
How many did I get?
Six, eight.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh. So well please bring it in.
What was my favourite one again?
I'm
through the highlights.
Oh, you didn't even write them down.
I don't know, but...
Well, they were coming out too quick. Dragging the pony I liked.
I like dissecting the poodle. That's one of my
dissecting
new favourites.
Dissecting the poodle.
Making the roo juice.
Making the roo juice. Okay, so
dragging
if you...
Dragging the pony sounds a lot more violent.
It really does, doesn't it? Oh, no. Well done, everyone. So next week we'll get a listener phoning in and playing that with us. Not that we're getting rid of you, Sam.
You can come in as well. We can do a four-way. We can do a four-way.
I like the sound of a four-way.
Yeah. Me too, mate. It's a lot of effort, though.
Drag the pony between us.
It'll be a team of ponies.
Yeah.
Okay, so email us at christmas@fubarradio.com, tweet at fubarradio, whichever wanking euphemism you heard that made you laugh and sticks with you. Maybe it will get on a T-shirt, and we'll pick out from the people who have tweeted and emailed in, we'll pick out a random winner, and they can get a T-shirt with that written on it. Okay, great. Well, guys, wow. I don't know about you, but I am spent after that. So I'm going to have to play another track just so I can get my breath back. Trillmatic featuring Method Man, ASAP Mob. I'd never heard that. I really enjoyed it. Andrew, I have thoroughly enjoyed today. How about you?
Mate, I've enjoyed talking to you, and I thank the people for opening their ear holes.
That is true. Andrew Bird, stand-up comedian. You can catch him gigging around town and out of town. I also do stand-up. You can be bothered coming and watch me.
You're good at stand-up, mate. You make me laugh.
I get away with it. But you're good as well. We started out together. That's what this relationship is. And friendship. It's built on mutual respect and friendship. We should get married.
Yeah.
So, and we're allowed to soon.
Yep. What do you mean soon? We can now.
No, it's not official yet, is it?
No, but also you're already married, so you've got to get a divorce first.
Oh, that's true.
I can't be asked for the paperwork.
Yeah, I know. But you can in Scotland. You can get married now in Scotland. But anyway, that's not what the show's about. We hope you've enjoyed it. We're going to be here every Tuesday, 1 till 4. Next week, I'm doing the drive time slot, and Andrew's going to join me for one or two of those. It's going to be great. Let's play you out with some badass beats. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is FUBAR Radio. I've been Jared Christmas, and you have been...
I've definitely been Andrew Bird.
Definitely, with the soothing tones of Andrew Bird. You've got a voice you want to spoon to.